United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 25th of August. It is the last week in August, and we're headed up to the Canfield Fair for those of us who live locally. So you all know what that means. We're going to be broadcasting live from the fair. I think I'm going to be doing Wednesday. I'm not sure if I got to get Gary in the studio. So if I can get Gary in the studio to work my board and engineer for me, we'll be at the fair on Wednesday. But if not, I know we'll be there on Thursday and Friday. And so stop out at the Cumulus Center, Radio Center tent, right over in the media area over in front of the grandstand, and say hi to us. We'll be there from 9 to noon. But love to meet all of you that are out there. And we will be there with bells on. Today's going to be a different kind of day. I'm going to be home alone on a Monday for open mic, so that ought to be interesting. And so it's open mic. I've got some things on my mind, so I'm going to get those off my mind fairly quickly. I want to talk a little bit about Ferguson. I want to talk about I want to know if you guys believe that there is a war on black men. And because we have a strong black male contingency that actually, there's Ben. Go on the other side, Ben. That actually calls in and with us. Eric's on the phone right now because we actually have them, and I want to ask them because, and since Ben is here, I need Ben to talk about the white man's perspective because they don't believe there's a war on black men, but because I think in my own personal view, it has been hidden for so long. And it's been covert. It's been very, very underground. I mean, you know, just how the imaging of it, the perception of it, how things are viewed. You're on two. You're probably going to pull that up. How things are viewed and how things have been over the years. Because remember, this is just not happening suddenly. This is happening over a long span of time. So I'm going to talk about that. I also want to talk about violence, and I want to know what your take is on that. And Ben just came in. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I had a wonderful weekend. Saw a wonderful concert last night at the Covelli Center. Rod Stewart was just fantastic. So,
I hear you. I saw you went to see Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. I haven't seen 35 years since I saw him last.
He was 102 then. So what now?
No, he's 69 now. He was, 34 then. In fact, when I saw him, I was in seventh grade. I'll never forget this. I went with a classmate of mine, and her mother took us in, and that was my first rock and roll concert, and he was wonderful back then, and he was even better now at age 69.
He was better now?
Yeah.
Than he was then?
Oh, my God.
Because he's old as dirt. I mean, that cat is old.
Oh, but his voice got better as the concert went along.
His voice got better as he got older. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not as he got older.
Old.
Yeah, he is.
He's an old dude.
He's 69.
He's an old dude.
I mean, he could be a Rolling Stone. There's no doubt about it.
A Rolling Stone? No, he's old.
Yeah, he's older than dirt.
He could be like Al Jolson.
Yeah, but once
Bootsy,
again.
But you know, Bootsy Collins was here last night also. He was out in Austin Town.
Yeah, well.
And
Kiss and Def Leppard were down in Pittsburgh, too.
I hear he. I saw where he rocked the place.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Two concerts in one night in Youngstown Hall. Can you believe it?
And you know what? I bet you both.
And both were
full. Both were packed. I mean, I don't know about the Bootsy show, but the Rod Stewart
absolutely.
Was standing
they were both
room
full.
Only.
Both of them were filled. I didn't go.
Kudos
you know.
To the Covelli Center for bringing such great talent to Youngstown.
No, kudos to the Covelli Center for yesterday morning.
What did they do yesterday morning?
Yesterday with the Panarathon.
Oh, really?
And I went down. There were 10,000 people down there with me.
10,000? A Panarathon. What
yeah.
Did you do, eat Panera bread all day or what?
Yeah, we started with that. We started with Panera. We ended with Panera bread. But then we ran in the middle.
You ran in the middle?
We ran in the middle.
Ah.
I did my 2 miles in 30 minutes.
Wow.
And next year I'm going to try to run.
Wow, you do a 15-minute mile. You're ready for the Olympics.
No, not even close. Not even close. No. Eric, how you doing this morning?
Good, Tracy. How you doing?
Good. Did you run or did you go see Bootsy or did you stay home and watch football?
I pretty much stayed home to watch football.
What kind of life is that?
Were the Browns on yesterday?
No, they were Saturday, weren't they?
I don't know.
The Browns play yesterday? I don't think so.
They played Saturday.
They played Saturday. That's what I thought. Did they win?
No.
Second.
Well, you know what? That brings up a good point. I kind of been thinking a lot about this. The next girl I am going to go out with has to be a Browns fan.
Turn your mic up. What do you mean? Why do they have to be a Browns fan?
Because, A, they're used to disappointment, and they never expect a ring in the end.
You know what, man?
Well, think about it.
No. You are so
There's funny. A lot of cute girls in Cleveland, too.
I don't know. I didn't look.
You know, my good friend Ray's up there.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5522 tonight. It is open mic. But we are. I do want to talk about. We do want to talk about that. Over the weekend, I listened to people talk about whether there was a war on black men. I saw where Suge Knight got shot up at a club out in Los Angeles at the VMAs pre-party at the VM for the VMAs, and he got 6 bullets. So they did a Tupac on him. And so that happened over the weekend. And if you don't know who Suge Knight is, Suge Knight is one of the former owners of Death Row Records who actually brought Dr. Dre and Snoop and all of them and N.W.A. And
Ice Cube. For a lot of great music.
Yeah, a lot of rap music. And then I also want to talk about are black people more violent than white people? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I was listening to a commentary over the weekend, and he was trying to say that there were blacks are violent within themselves. And I didn't form an opinion instantaneously, but I've marinated it for a minute, and then I came up with my own conclusion. I do not believe that African Americans or are more violent than white Americans. I don't believe that. I believe that we are more passionate about certain things than white Americans, because everybody has their own culture and their own set of passions. And I believe because of the oppression, and the reason why I say oppression is because even though African Americans are free to walk the streets, they've still been enslaved in their minds because the acceptance of them to be who they are has not been accepted in America. And when I say that, it's always about assimilation. You must always be like the European. And if you make a European feel uncomfortable, then you may or may not be accepted. And sometimes we fail to realize that sometimes European, or and when I say European, I'm saying white, sometimes we fail to realize that white people are just as uncomfortable in a situation as you are in a situation. They may show it a little bit differently. But I say the reason why about oppression and violence when it comes to our young men, because if you take a young man and you stunt his growth, you don't know what you're going to get out of it. When I say growth, you stunt his ability to create. Man was designed to create, to build, and to grow. And when you stunt that growth, when you limit that growth, when you try to suppress that growth, even if it's not you personally, but society at large, based upon preconceived notions that our media has based on imaging across the board. And I'm going to say this also, and white men are beginning to feel the same effects of it, because the feminization of America is really hurting the man male. And so that's both black and white. So you have to understand, as a white man becomes suppressed, he actually oppresses other people behind him because they're always competing. It's just a testosterone thing. Men are always competing. And so I believe that it's not that they are violent, but they are have been crafted, even by the music that they listen to. They're not listening to, Life is a Highway. You won't find a rap song anywhere right now that is a warm fuzzy. And if you're into hip-hop, you're just not going to find it. You know, it's very, very hard. It's very, very rugged. And it's nothing that's going to make you walk away and feel good.
You want the average white man's perception of
sure.
violence? I think if you look at it as historical,
yeah.
pre-1960, white men were far more violent. And look at the white serial killers versus black serial killers. We white serial killers far outnumber.
We're not going to do all that. That's
yeah.
too much work.
Well, it is. But, you know, you want to look at who's more violent. The leaders of the world in white countries and black countries are equally as violent.
I know, because Idi Amin, he had a mean, mean son of a gun.
And Adolf Hitler.
And what I'm saying but co-equally, but remember, it was about oppression. Remember, if you look at these men,
exactly.
it was all about making sure everyone stayed where they are so they could rule.
And this is why I think if you ask that question now in America, I'm going to say black men are more violent because they're more oppressed.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes we don't look at it that way. And so we look at this because, I mean, mm-hmm. when's the last time your white child, your mm-hmm. white son got pulled over by the police?
This is all.
And actually, we're not talking about harassed verbally.
Right.
But we're talking about really dug in. And I don't think you understand. No one expects for the black child, the black male,
uh-huh.
to lead, to learn. That's why we have problems with Barack Obama, because he showed up and everybody was happy because he was going to lead. He's just not leading.
Yeah, and let me get this off my chest, too. One of my very, very, very good Facebook friends, who is very religious, posted a video of a black cop shooting a white man. And, you know, I had to, you know, send a comment to him. Why are you fanning the flames of racism? I don't care what color you are. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal.
Because we tend to believe that if you are a black – one, not too many black cops shoot a white male.
Right.
Because –
but
– because – you got to realize –
under a microscope.
No. When a black man is arrested,
mm-hmm.
he's guilty until proven innocent.
He's not guilty until proven guilty. The system is in his favor
And the system mm-hmm. actually believes it.
Mm-hmm.
So a black man has to prove his innocence, where a white man has to prove his guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, lies the problem with our justice system. Because, you know, she's supposed to be blind unless you're black.
Well, yeah, but in this case, you know...
This Ferguson case is something different.
Yeah, and the
reason why I'm saying that is the Ferguson case is something different. And I don't want to collude that in, even though it came out because of the Ferguson case.
Mm-hmm.
This Ferguson issue in Missouri, the reason why I brought it up is because of it, but this is not what I'm talking about. Because even as I was watching television this morning, they were saying that why is it that they have released the young man robbing the store? But they haven't released the official police report. They're going to wait until October
mm-hmm.
to actually get this in to the grand jury, because they meet once a week. I don't understand their system that they can't push things through, because if there was a violent murderer and you needed to get him off the street, then you could expedite that. Now, I don't know Missouri law, but I do know in Ohio you can get a direct presentment, skip over the Muni court, go straight in and present.
Well, you know, yes, you can, but, you know, in such a serious case as a homicide, whether it's justifiable or not, you've got to take your time. You've got to look at all things. You've got to wait till you get the toxicology reports.
Ben,
you've got to wait to get everybody's testimony.
Listen to this. But the question is,
you know, it's
no.
Time.
Then why did they release the videotape of a young man stealing some cigars? See, you have to understand, why would you release that and not release anything else? Why has an independent autopsy come out, but not the official one? You understand? You can't. Either everything's coming out, or the judge should put a gag order on everyone.
Well, I agree. Maybe the judge should put a gag order on everyone. But
you can't release how you want to despair this young man, and not bring out show a picture of the man's of the cop's face that was if he hit him.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't hit him, and then you have nothing to show.
Right. Why wasn't that?
But don't let
don't
let innuendo fly.
Right. Right.
Because all it does is breed resentment.
But you can't blame them. You have to blame the media for that.
No. Because they're not releasing it.
Well, no. The media is looking for anything they can put their hands on. And they're not doing their due justice. They're not researching and
making sure that this is right.
You
missed my point.
You know, they're jumping to conclusions.
No, they're jumping to conclusions. Mm-hmm. But the law enforcement agency is not giving them anything. And when you don't give anybody anything, then I'm going to start with innuendo.
Right. But once again, I mean,
they're burning
down
the city. You got to come up with something.
Yeah. Once again.
And race relations now are worse than they were in the 60s.
Most definitely. And I'll tell you what, like I said, coming back here from L.A., this is a very racist racial area compared to
Well, no.
Even
though
Los Angeles
is still has its issues of race, but it's a socioeconomic race. In LA, you can buy your way out of racism.
Mm-hmm.
In Mahoning Valley, it's about prejudice. It's not about racism. It's more prejudice here because we still are a community of many ethnic groups.
Right.
And those ethnic groups
mm-hmm.
culminate into many, many different ideals. So people come in here and talk about Mark Mangi, and he's Italian.
Mangi.
And they had nothing. He has nothing to do with, really, Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Italians,
he didn't get here
at all Italians or... and black folks, they were about the same no matter what. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And so here is more prejudice because they have I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she said to me, she says, I never had a black friend until I met you at St. Pat's. And I'm like, wow.
Well,
really?
I can say luckily I've had black friends ever since I started going to school because my first grade year was the first – they started busing in Newcastle.
But you got to realize, black and white don't mix in Youngstown.
It was hard to mix anywhere.
I mean, just even now.
And
even now. Last night, when you went to see Rod Stewart, how many black faces did you see?
On stage were the
only
five people, I think, on stage.
I'm talking about in the crowd.
No, I didn't see any in the crowd.
And now I will bet you there were some white folks at a Bootsy Collins.
Oh, most definitely.
Explain that. I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Today's hacker report, hackers broke into the UPS store's database, giving them access to customer information. If you've shipped anything or bought supplies at a UPS store, you better check your credit rating and watch your credit card statements carefully. Check our site out for more details. Can a mouthpiece somehow prevent concussion? Doesn't seem logical. And in fact, studies have found that there's no evidence a mouthpiece protects athletes against brain injury. The feds are taking notes, sending letters to retailers who've made claims that can't be supported. Parents of your kids play football or other contact sports, a properly designed helmet is what's called for. Pet owners, beware. Escalators are dangerous for your dog. A dog's paws can be severely damaged on an escalator, often ending up with one or more limbs being amputated. Whether fur gets caught or a toe gets cut off or a nail is lacerated, it can be a serious injury. Look around for stairs or an elevator and leave the escalators to humans. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at ConsumerAffairs.com.
Covelli Enterprises invites you to the grand opening of its newest Panera Bread with drive-thru in Boardman this Tuesday, August 26th on Market Street next to the Southwoods Commons. Starting at 5:30 a.m., the first 1,000 dine-in guests will receive a free travel mug and free coffee for 2 weeks with the purchase of a breakfast item. There will be other great offers all week long to celebrate the grand opening of Boardman's second Panera location. Panera Bread grand opening Tuesday, August 26th on Market Street next to Southwoods Commons.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-6. Ben is telling me that there is this is a country version. I didn't know there was a different version.
This is not the original.
What's the original?
Oh, I don't know. It's
Tom Coltrane?
No, I don't think so.
Who did the original?
That was another song.
Who did the original?
Well, give me a rundown. Give me a list, and I'll let you know.
I don't have a list. Guess where I went on Friday night?
Where'd you go?
I went to the chairman's dinner.
Chairman?
Chairman.
What chairman?
There was a chairman's dinner at Friday night at Tippecanoe. Mm. Now, I want you guys to know, you're always talking about Republicans being wealthy. No, they raise more money than us. Them Democrats make some money. I was impressed because, I mean, the union came in and dropped some money on them. I was like, wow. Chris Redfern was there. Cory Booker was in town.
Hmm.
And I went to the dinner
because
the chairman invited me.
Dave.
Dave invited me, and I don't think he thought I'd show up. And I told him I wouldn't write a check to it, but I'll show up. I'll definitely come.
Mm-hmm.
And I went.
Hmm.
And I think you have to ask, and I behaved very nice. I did not talk politics all the time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very good kid.
Hmm. You didn't stand up in the middle of the room and say, thanks for the
I didn't stand up and say you lie. No.
Oh,
I didn't do any of that. Uh-huh. I sat in my chair. I was pleasant. I smiled. I listened. Mm-hmm. Cory Booker was a very enthusiastic speaker. He has a very good Republican story. He should be a Republican because he came from nothing and built himself on his own. And I tell you what he said. This is what he said. He said that his dad was an orphan, and the community took him in, and the church took him in and raised him and navigated him so that he could go to college. And he met his mom while he was in college. And they worked very, very hard to get where they are so that he could be who he is.
Hmm.
I said, wow.
Sounds like a small business owner.
No. Sounds like a Republican story. Because, see, Republicans, he didn't say that his dad was on assistance and worked his way through. He said, and the government pushed him up. That's not what he said. He said
he did it.
His dad. And the community around him,
mm-hmm.
the community around him actually,
the church,
the community, people sewed into his life and helped navigate him for where he was going because he was an orphan, mm-hmm. not the government.
Right.
So the question is,
why isn't he a Republican?
Yeah. I'm like, but he did say that his first job was at the Urban League, his dad's first job.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't find a work, and so the Urban League, and they marched in civil rights. And I have to say this, and I want all you Republicans out there to really take a listen to this. Y'all need to quit letting the Democrats hijack the complete civil rights story. Because they act like they wrote it, own it, and it was all about them. And that's not true.
Mm-mm.
And I'm tired of them hijacking the story like the Republicans were sitting on the sideline protesting with dogs. Because that was not them. That was them.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I hear Missouri is all Democrat. Ferguson?
And well, yeah.
Yeah.
East St. Louis was a stronghold for the Democrats. And.
But I had to tell you that's where I went on Friday because that was news.
Yeah. How is Dave doing? I like
he's doing
Dave.
Good.
He's a very likable guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's misled
and all my elected all my elected people were there, you know, my county office holders, city office holders.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of them were there.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it wasn't like I was sitting in a room of people that I didn't know.
No.
I
were they wearing suits and ties or
No. They were in suits and ties. It was very nice.
They weren't in orange jumpsuits.
No
striped
shirts. No stripes.
I thought that was a prerequisite for
Jeffrey.
City.
Jeffrey, you can't stay home and then call in. That's not cool. I don't even do that.
I have to.
No, you don't.
If I don't, they will take me to the poor. They're gonna take me to the poorhouse.
No, they won't. No. You missed. No. Jeff, you can't take off and call in. That's not cool.
The poorhouse.
Jeff, you cannot take off and call in. That's not cool. What?
I have to.
No, you don't. Sit there and listen.
Yeah, why
are
you
like
getting so serious
else?
In the first 15 minutes?
Because I got a long way to go.
I called to reprimand you. The first half hour is supposed to be easy and calm. You were
not
all
by myself.
And by the way, if you're from the Youngstown area, go online and vote for the Sensations on the Youngstown Music Award website there because Jeff's band has been
Youngstown
nominated.
Youngstown Music
Award. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
.com.
But
Larry
hey. You got to tell that when you come in.
You only got to speak.
I got to tell it because it looks too. It can't come from Jeff because it looks too disingenuous.
Yes, that's true. You don't tell folks to vote for me.
Yeah, right. But I will go on there and say that it's something that and very well deserved, and I'm very proud to see that this Youngstown Music Awards is all inclusive. I'm very proud of that now. It wasn't at first. It was a hard road, but I'm very, very glad.
That was too much commentary, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
That was too much. Just say, now listen, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Please go to the Youngstown Music Awards and vote for the Sensations. There's a great band there. Jeff's a part of it. They do a wonderful job, and they need your support. Please go to www.
I don't know.
I'm actually up for one of the best vocalists in the area. They're saying as well as our drummer, as far as drummer, and then we're there as a group too as well. So
you know, you should write it up in a press
inclusive.
Release and have people do it. It's all inclusive, but it's just
you can't do that when you have a
for the Sensations for Jeff. And what's the drummer's name?
Larry Pelletta.
And Larry, go vote for Jeff and Larry for the drummer, for the vocals, and for the Sensations. And Jay coming here telling folks it's all inclusive.
Well, you're just mad because they won't let you sing.
That's true, too.
If they would let you sing, you would have been nominated, see? That's the whole problem. You're mad because they wouldn't let you sing.
Jeffrey, did you watch Fox News yesterday morning, the conversation between Jesse Jackson and Ben Carson?
No. My God, I missed that.
Okay. So I'll have to play it since no one listens to
it. Yeah, I got
to
pull my
Eric,
up.
Did you watch it yesterday morning?
Yeah, I did, actually, Tracy.
How was it?
It was. Well, Jesse was about what you would expect out of Jesse. Dr. Ben, he actually said some things that made sense. So, but also, it was a good conversation.
Okay. Today, funeralize Mr. Brown, Mike Brown. I have a question. At the end of the day, after they've gone through all of this, was any of it for naught, or will something good come out of it? No matter what, this Ferguson case.
Nothing.
Did anything good come out of the Trey Martin case?
Well, no, yeah, because Trayvon Martin, they still in the news making money. So my question is. What?
So did anything good come out of it? I mean, money's the root of all evil. That's bad.
No, that's the love of money. But my question is, the reason why I'm asking this is because I saw Trayvon Martin, their parents are there today, and they're supporting the Brown parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got everybody's together. They're bringing, you know, preachers, and there are about 4,000 people coming in to this boy's funeral today.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrities are coming in. They're flying in. They, you know, people, they have, Liz, the community at large is going to get a come up by the people that are going to show up in the community,
mm-hmm.
which is not going to go back to the community at large. But can anything come out of this? Because everything in this case seems to be premature.
I think the one thing that could come out of this is that all store owners should be conceal and carry.
No, but I'm talking about can any anything socially come out of this? Because we still have not enough facts. See, everybody's still dealing. Hold on, Diva. Everybody's still dealing with minimum information because the enforcement agency is not releasing anything. The only thing they've really released is the young man that got, you know, the video of him, you know, beating up the store owner,
mm-hmm.
Him being in the street for 4.5 hours, which was, now that's something that they need to deal with. And then also, you know, what else is
it?
The second autopsy
came out.
And what did it show? And who did that one?
It was the family hired somebody.
So the question is,
but the family didn't like the results of that one.
No. Where is the official autopsy? Because you can't keep listen.
Probably tied up in red tape right
now. The kid getting ready to go on the ground, so you can say the autopsy's done. So everybody that was going to look at him.
Didn't he have a third?
He had three.
Yeah,
he had a federal one. He had one from the state and had an independent one.
Yeah, and the federal and the state did not come out yet.
Yeah,
right.
The county does one. The county does the first initial autopsy. The family ordered the second one, and the federal government ordered the third one.
Diva.
Yeah, because it was reported initially that he was shot in the back.
Can I continue to say this? The official one come from the state. The state autopsy is the
county.
One. It will come from the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the county coroner, but everybody works on behalf of the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, your tax dollars are at work. They've done everything that they could do with this guy, and it's been 10 days, so he's ready to go in the ground.
Well, also, you have to remember, he was not the only autopsy they probably performed that day. He was probably one of many.
He was the most important.
Well, I don't doubt that because of the most nuisance.
So tell me this. What's taking so long?
Mm-hmm.
Because cause of death.
Well, bureaucratic red tape, of course. It's you know how it is.
Hold on, Diva.
Toxicology report.
Diva, do not talk over me today. Don't do it. Pionki. No, he acts like he ain't there. Pionki.
Yes.
Why can't they expedite this in Missouri?
What do you mean, why come they can't expedite it in Missouri?
In Ohio.
It's not a Missouri problem. This is a local problem.
No. In the state law. In Ohio, when we have a case that needs to go before the grand jury and or it is of precedence, it can go through. The prosecutor's office at a more rapid pace.
You have to realize that the second report ordered by the family,
yes,
it was only a partial autopsy report that was released. They still are waiting on the toxicology and some other things.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
The official one by the state of Missouri or mm-hmm. by the county of St. Louis has not been released.
No, well, it takes at least, I think, 3 weeks for a toxicology
test.
We're
not talking about toxicology. And listen, Whitney Houston died, and we knew that she had drowned. We just didn't know if she was drunk. We're not talking about toxicology. We're talking about the...
Well, that's all part of the report. And maybe they don't want to release a partial. They want to release a full and comprehensive...
So they would rather for all their constituents to be upset about them not getting this done?
That may be the policy that they have set forth in their...
Do you think
their,
that's a good policy?
In this case, maybe not, but in most cases,
Do they ever move any faster in Missouri?
No.
You can shoot a president...
Well, it'll be federal. So you mean to tell me when you have homicides on the street, they don't get expedited in any faster than this?
Prove your point.
The grand jury report won't come out until October.
Okay, we heard that. But my question is, right now, even the charges against the charges that the officers actually filed or the people, what are they presenting to the grand jury? Is that not a secret?
Well, I imagine it's a secret between the defendant and the prosecutor. It's not a secret between the defendant and the prosecutor.
No, I'm talking about, is your grand jury, is it closed? In Ohio, when you go to grand jury, even the defense does not
get
to grand jury.
Yes, even the information that's presented to the grand jury is not subject to public scrutiny.
That's what I was asking.
Which, that really is un-American.
But it is true.
That's the way it is in America.
And the defense has no say in that. Sometimes we have a request to present, but the defense attorney never gets to present.
I mean, anytime you're messing with somebody's life, somebody's freedom, I think it should be an open process for everyone.
Because going back, like I said, even with the indictment of Rick Perry in Texas, you can see how flawed that process is.
Most definitely.
Because if you can indict a governor for something that, hold on, Jeff. If you can indict a prosecutor for something that he had the right to do, that tells you how skewed that process can be.
Well, on the bright side, look at it. Now that he's indicted, he can always come to Youngstown and run.
Oh, Ben, he's old man.
Yeah, and prosecutors have immunity. But
no, they don't.
Yes, they do.
What do you mean they have immunity?
Prosecutor immunity. Yes, they do have immunity. They can do things unheard of. Prosecution.
No.
You ever known a prosecutor to be prosecutor? Prosecutor.
Yeah, we got one that went to jail. I don't know why you're playing. We live large. our judges and prosecutors go to jail in Ohio.
But there are some things
in Mahoney County.
Mahoney Valley, we go hard or go home.
That's it. we take it hard. Everybody go to jail in Mahoney County. What were you saying, Jeff?
Okay, and the reason why they are not going to release that information is because of discovery rules and things like that that have to go in case there's a charge that comes forth. They're not going to release that original autopsy, but Biden's autopsy is going to be a mirror of the county lady's autopsy, as he said. It was going to be because he said she did a great job during the autopsy. And it proved, that's why I think you're seeing the voices calm down now, because they're finding out more and more that happened. And, you know, even though people were right away creating all this big fuss, they can't keep it up because they don't have any justification in it. But one thing that came out is the cop was not on duty, supposedly. That's another story that came up. And
what I'm saying, Jeff, that's what I'm saying. Everything that we keep hearing, I mean, we heard that he had a fractured optical, and then we heard that was a rumor. We keep – I just read it. I just read it, and Fox News stopped reporting it. They stopped saying it. So I'm just saying, everything what we hear is hearsay.
Well, and it takes time to gather the facts. So, you know,
there are some facts that can be released. When you get arrested tonight, you're going to have a police report in the morning that the Vindicator can go take a look at, even if it's nothing but the preliminary police report. Right now, everybody is speculating, and they still haven't gotten to any issues or the facts of anything. You burned down a city, and you're getting ready to have a gigantuous funeral for a young man that you don't know was right and or wrong.
Yeah,
well, the people that were doing the riding wasn't even from St. Louis. Some of them even came from Ohio.
No, they didn't come from Youngstown. We don't travel that far. We stop at the city limits because we know our boundaries.
Y'all maps don't go that far. Okay.
No. But I'm just saying, I mean, they're speculating. I mean, they could do things. There are things that they could have done better. Like I said last week, I understand them not touching the crime scene, but 4.5 hours? Leaving a body out open?
Well,
in his community where he lives, where kids are walking by, people are walking by, and you're seeing a young boy who's dropped dead where a cop shot him, and it's almost like, come view the body now. See what will happen to you if you do this.
Well, you know, we were both in L.A. when the riots occurred
right.
for Rodney King. That didn't happen until the acquittal. Correct?
That's correct.
Right? This is happening before anything has time to get.
But you have to understand, what is, but how they've handled it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have really botched this up, and there's still no information. So everybody is sympathizing with this young man now, or a good majority of people. The rest of the people are.
But you can't affect the, or blame the county of Ferguson or the city. They're sitting on a powder keg. Everything depends on, you know, what they say could incite a riot. So I don't blame them for being meticulous and being careful.
But their silence
is also bad in a way.
The silence looks as though they're covering something up.
But they're just following due process. They're not. It takes time.
Listen, let me say it this way. When things happen in our community, when the nice little lady got shot over here and robbed at St. Dom's, sometimes things seem to go on the fast track. And, like, they have murderers by sundown. As a matter of fact, they have warrants for their arrest. They've got tips.
Mm-hmm.
They got tips, money for tips going out. All this. So you have to understand.
The community at large here.
In the black community, uh-huh. When a black kid dies, it's just another one down.
Nobody even reported it. That, you know, same time Monday. That's weekend.
Do you understand?
Somebody lost his life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so go ahead, Diva.
You have to look at the difference between the black community and the white community. Now, with my cousin's murder, that didn't take too long to solve. We knew who did it, and me being on top of the investigator, it took maybe 2 weeks at the most to capture the guy. They had a warrant within 3 days and captured him within a week and a half. But the difference is the black community, especially in Youngstown, has this no snitching policy, whereas we don't do what's right and stand up and say, no, that was the person who did what's wrong. In the case of the young man who is a good friend of mine, and I know his family, who killed the man and shot the woman in a mistaken identity case in front of St. Dom's on Southern Boulevard, his family was subpoenaed to testify against him. And do you know that some of his family members had to move? Because
the
family members turned on them, but the community turned on them.
Listen,
why?
I just came out of a trial on Friday, and this kid was convicted. And this young man shot my cousin. He was 57 years old when he got shot. It took them 2 years to go to trial. So for 2 years, the family has had to deal with this. It doesn't always. And listen, what I'm saying is, it doesn't always take this long. And sometimes you need to expedite things for closure. Or make all things fair.
But is
you can't
it
have
better
some and not
to
the
expedite
other.
Or is it better to have all your facts and have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed?
Diva, if you have the witnesses, nothing. You only had one witness.
Two.
Huh? I'm talking about mine.
Oh, yours.
We only had one. It was a young lady. She was 40-some years old. There was only one. It was in broad daylight at 12 noon in the afternoon. And it was only one car. So what do you want?
Well,
it's not like they had to go gather a whole lot of evidence. You only had one person to talk to.
It's also a back-and-forth game with the attorneys, with the court docket and
Diva,
all that.
What I'm saying is, and the more money you have and or the better your attorney is, the longer it takes. Go ahead, South Carolina. Good morning.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that, but listen, I sat on a grand jury for 2 years. We met once a month, and when we met, we had probably maybe 200 to 300 cases that have piled up throughout that month that we have to either true bill or no bill. And it's a long, lengthy process. It doesn't just happen. I mean, but this process, you're going to have to go and do the investigation about the officer. He's got his rights, as you know, and the union's going to fight for him, you know. But in the meantime, you know, that's going to be a long time process. And then you got to get on the docket and so on and so forth. Personally, I'm not in no big hurry to get the thing, you know, to get it expedited. I mean, you know, because with anybody else, it would be the same thing. I mean,
mine is people need to have some type of information because it was so public. And because it was so national. And they're not getting anything, because right now we don't know whether it was a young man or the officer. You're not getting any conversation from anywhere except for innuendo. And the longer they stay quiet, the more lies that surface.
Well, you have had people to tell, but you don't want to believe them. You had blacks to come for, black kids that was there on the street, and nobody wants to believe them. But I want to say this. The police have code of silence also. They use it all the time, code of blue. You got three black police officers on that force, and they see what's going on. So why come they don't come forward? Because they're threatening.
No, in this case, it is going to be the gospel according to Al Sharpton. And if it doesn't go the way Al Sharpton wants it to go, and the way they've already tried this case in the media, the cop is guilty. And if it doesn't go that way, then we're going to see LA all over again. I mean,
what I'm saying is, but my issue is, America is already at the brink of a powder cake. They really are. Race relationships in America right now is really on the edge. And so anything that you can do to try to mend the fences and make things equal and just, they should be trying to do. And the lack of information and allowing a lot of rumors to be flying, all it does is create emotional excitement. So that when things don't go the way people want them to go, because right now there's a fund, I guess, GoFund on the internet line. They've raised almost $300,000 in a weekend.
You know, I will say this.
And the young man's got about $100,000. Yeah. The young man's got about $100,000. What's up with that?
You know.
I don't think the people of Ferguson is willing to accept the truth or the facts or anything, because the race relations, the tension between the races and the police department in that community has long been before this Michael Brown case.
That's what I'm saying. You already know that it's tumultuous. You know that it is ready to blow. We know that. Not only are they ready to blow there, but they're ready to blow in other cities across the nation.
And back then, Tracy, the other thing, back in 91, the LAPD didn't have NRAPs. Now look what these police forces got, you know?
That's another subject, because they come up for you. But my question is, they know that this is going on, so why are they not being proactive about this so that they can actually try to put this to rest in the right way, open things up a little bit, make them a little more transparent, and so that I'm not sitting here lying talking about the officer got punched. No, he didn't get punched. This happened over here because Trayvon Martin is still brewing.
Oh, yes.
And remember, they still have not gotten back to Zimmerman that it wasn't race, he was crazy. And nobody wants to get up and say Zimmerman is a nutcase. Yeah. But you had white folks lining up with him because they presume black kids are always guilty.
But I will say this. In some of the Ferguson, I've seen the pro Ferguson or the marchers. I've seen a few whites marching with against the cop, and there was a little cop area where they protesters. There was a few black people amongst them, pro cop there.
This morning they said the integration. Remember civil rights movement when they protested about the civil rights, it was integrated.
Right.
These protests that are going on in New York, I guess it was Staten Island.
For the most part, they are not integrated.
They are not integrated.
Right.
And there may be people who are sitting on the sidelines, but they're afraid to go down there because they don't want to get mistaken for being something that they're not, which is another issue. But my question is, when are they going to take this and become proactive so that we can deal with the race issue in America? Because this is a powder keg waiting to be lit, and if it happens, it's not only going to fuse one area, it's going to spread like wildfire across the urban areas of America.
Why don't you ask the designers of this this whole situation? Why don't you ask the Margaret Sangers? Why don't you ask
You're going somewhere. Matt, good morning.
Morning, Tracy. I saw that interview with Jackson and Dr. Carson yesterday. I know you're going to play it. I just want to say, it's funny how you're saying that people aren't willing to stand up and open the door and show transparency and say, let's get the story right. Well, when you listen to that interview with Jackson yesterday, I saw Dr. Carson want to talk about the whole issue. He wants to talk about the entire issue, the broad issue, and he basically reached his hand out to Jesse Jackson yesterday, even thanking him for what he did alongside Dr. Martin Luther King, and he reaches his hand out, and all Jackson wanted to do was talk about racism in America, and he had that division. It was a hard-line division, and he was not moving. I didn't see Jackson crack a smile once, and he was dead serious about not going along with what Dr. Carson was talking about. So that it was an interesting insight watching that interview.
See, I'm going to take a break, but I'm just saying we just don't understand because I get to hear conversations on both sides of the fence, and it's not good conversation. And if you have something going on in Ferguson, if you got something going, and if you can start opening up the dialogue and the conversation so that people can have clarity, but keeping this all silent and not letting anyone know and everybody spreading lies, because lies, they're getting ready to blow up.
Listen, if I was the president, I'd have a town meeting live in Ferguson about race relations.
Who are you talking about? Ben, you can't
that's
have a town. You can't have a town meeting on the golf course. Yeah, go ahead, South Carolina. Go ahead, Missouri. Go ahead, Pianki.
The whites in Ferguson are old, elderly whites. There's no young whites in Ferguson. Whites don't move back in those areas. So, and the protesters, those that was pro Wilson, came all the way from Crestwood, where he lives, which is about 25 or 30 miles away. That's another issue that's going to come out.
So
in
why
these
was
talks.
He there?
Not only, why was
who
was there?
Who was he doing there? Huh?
Who?
The latest report that I read was that the police department that he first belonged to was disbanded because of racial animosity and racial tension. So they disbanded that whole police force, revamped it, but he ended up coming into Ferguson, and he's been with Ferguson for 6 years.
No, I'm not talking about the call. I'm talking about are you talking about Brown, the young man
no,
who got shot?
Wilson.
No, I'm asking Pianki. Pianki, is that the young man who was not a part of that community, or did he not live there?
Wilson, none of those police officers live in Ferguson. That's the problem. None of them live in these black communities. The only community that has an equal, balanced representation of black police officers, as blacks as their number in the police force, is Youth City. They have 47% black police officer, and they make up 46% of the community. But you have community right adjacent to that, Jennings, which is about 90% black, has 0% black police officer. So what they're having is a call is that these police officers are going to have to be local. This stuff about police, white police officers coming from miles around and doing what they're doing is just going to, it's got to come to an end.
Yeah, in this case, that's
and
not
also
the only
with
solution.
The fire department.
In this case, that's about the only solution.
Is she going
to
break?
Well, it should be. You can't, your child can't go out to Crestwood and get on the police force. I don't understand why come blacks don't demand that. I really don't. When it comes down to those issues, what's your name?
Diva,
you a mother, you're going to have children. Should not your children have the ability to work in the community that you pay in taxes?
What? Dang.
I'm trying to understand that question. I also want my child to have the ability to go outside of the community to work somewhere else where it's not strictly, she's just relegated to the community that she lives in.
From a parent's standpoint, in general, should not, well, let's put it like this. Why come when you go into these white communities, from a mother's standpoint, they feel that way, that their children are the ones who should have access to these jobs? You go into St. Peter's. If I go into St. Peter's, they're going to do a construction site. I have to hire St. Peter's first. So
right,
why come to black communities you can't have these?
Why is it not what happened to where Ferguson is not where their police force is majority white when the community itself majority black and they're outsourcing the police officers? Why is
because
that
the of the case? Good boy, because of the good old boy system that exists in these police departments. You have white chief, you got white mayor, and that's when it all kicks off. Same thing in the fire department.
Community that is 96% black, that is predominantly black, you get a white mayor.
Because he left over from old times.
No, you can't say the white mayor for getting voted in. That tells me something about the people in the community that...
Right.
you get an all-white city council, all-white white mayor, and all-white police force, that lets me know there's something wrong with the people in that community. That obviously they're not getting out there to vote to make a change within their community.
Well,
so now they're trying to go with
me
after this incident.
That's why this is the one time I'm happy to see the NAACP involved trying to get people registered to vote.
Diva, let me ask you a question.
NAACP has been in St. Louis County. You got St. Louis County NAACP, and you got St. Louis City NAACP. Either one of them is worth a damn. Except for Pruitt. And I know them all.
Listen, Bianchi, real quick. Now, bump off, and you know how it is. You are not needed until you're needed to pass people to control the country. So when it's a senator's race, then they want you to vote, and they want you to vote Democrat. When it's a presidential race, they want you to vote, and they want you to vote Democrat. Now, folks are very obedient to that, and guess what? That's why they have a white mayor, and that's why they have no black police officers on the force, because, first of all, ain't no black people trying to be no policemen. And I'll guarantee you, they didn't have more than about 5 to 7 officers trying to get it. Guarantee you. So that's what we have a problem with here. You don't have any people here trying to be police officers or firemen too much.
Well, what we're doing is starting to put prerequisites in high school. That's going to be a demand. So I brought that up years ago about putting emergency medical technician license certification in the high school.
And they opted
to go for something different. But we're going to start preparing just like the firefighters do. They have outside classes to prepare candidates, applicants, where they can pass these tests and get them familiarized with what's going to be this, that, and the other. And that's the same thing we're going to do as far as the police departments around here also.
Well, see, that's good. That's good. That means it's going to take the people to actually do something. And now it's sad to say that this case is the case that are getting people riled up, because I just feel in my heart, I just feel this is the wrong case. This is the wrong case for black people to be getting on board, talk about white versus black, injustice of black youth, because when all the facts are laid out, said and done, what's going to happen? How are you going to accept the fact when it comes down to it actually, in fact, was a justifiable shooting? Then what you going to do?
Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
Well, like I said, you know, it's called the gospel according to Al Sharpton and the what I call the race baiter, because I just have a feeling this thing's not going to play out the way that they think it's going to play out. And you've got people that just want to capitalize on that. You know?
And just limited evidence that I've seen. I'm sorry. As a prosecutor, just based off the limited evidence that I've seen, sure, did he have to shoot 6 times? No, but we don't really know why he shot 6 times. I mean, the boy was how tall, how big? I'm sorry.
There's
some
other video footage.
You got to take extra
measures. There's other video footage that you haven't seen.
It ain't just going to work in all cases. Could
That's
he have
thing,
had
though.
Better training in how he handled the situation? Yes. But it all boils down to the fact was, did Michael Brown get shot in the act of the police officer just doing his job? That's
yeah,
all it
stories,
boils down to.
Yeah, these stories couldn't be any more conflicting.
There's video footage nobody has seen.
Bianchi, you said that the story video of him robbing, that happened days before. I went back and looked at that video, looked at the timestamp. It was stated August 9th of 2014, 11:50.
Did he have on tennis shoes or sandals?
And that was the day he got shot.
The show that stimulates your mind.
Did he have on tennis shoes or sandals?
Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
We unfortunately have Dr. Ben Carson. Yes, we do have him, but unfortunately he's on the phone because the satellite transmission from Colorado Springs, we couldn't get to work. Anyway, gentlemen, glad to have you both here. Reverend Jackson, let me start with you, and I want to start with how you characterize the shooting of Michael Brown by that police officer. Here you are.
How many times was he shot, and where was he shot, and while he lied in the street for several hours? That was a kind of a state execution.
St- state execution. Reverend Jackson, how can you say that when you really have no idea what happened in that shooting?
What I do know is he was shot unarmed and shot six times, and it's a pattern. Whether it was the killing of Trayvon Martin, the killer walked away free, the killing of the Diallo in New York, shot 41 times by police, they walked away free. The Oscar Grant case in Oakland, or the case of Rodney King in L.A. At some point, we require and need to mean we need to have a sense of justice. All we do know about Michael, really, he was shot unarmed six times.
Well, there has been a contention. The only point I'd make that he hit the officer in the face. There are various unconfirmed reports about how severe that was. There's another report that he was charging at the officer. I mean, I guess the question is, if we don't know, why are we declaring a verdict?
Well, it seems to me that the police act as judge, jury, and executioner. And even on the worst scenario, if he had hit him in the face, does that require at a distance? I was there where he was shot about 20 feet. Does that mean you shoot him six times, four times at point-blank range? I don't think so.
Dr. Carson, what do you think of what Reverend Jackson has been saying?
Well, you know, I think the issues are really much bigger than what it's been portrayed to be, and it can't be resolved in a short segment like this. But, you know, I've seen police excesses living in inner-city Detroit, inner-city Boston, but I've seen a lot more situations where the police saved the situation, and I'm not sure that this is a police versus black community issue. You know, as a youngster, you know, I had anger problems also. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I tried to stab another youngster with a knife, a belt buckle, save them. You know, anger issues get in the way. And if you take race out of the issue altogether, and you take a group of young men and you raise them with no respect for authority, not learning to take on personal responsibility, having easy access to drugs and alcohol, they're very likely to end up as victims of violence or incarceration. It has nothing to do with race. So, yes, is there racism? Are there problems? Yes, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But we need to start looking at bigger issues here. We only have 320 million people in this country. We're on a global stage where we're competing countries with over a billion people. We have to save all of our people. They're all precious. And we have to develop our resources appropriately.
Reverend Jackson, I want you to pick up and to address what Dr. Carson said. And I also want to put up some numbers, because while the people in the protesters in Ferguson have been focusing on the police, the numbers tell a different story, which Juan Williams referred to earlier. Homicide is the number one cause of death among black males between ages 50 and 34. And 91% of black murder victims are not killed by the police, but are killed by other blacks. So, in a sense, are the protesters focusing on the wrong problem?
First of all, I wish Dr. Carson and I were a part of that white panel that you just had, because it does have a race dimension. We should all, Carson and I, we come out of a body of experience different than your previous guest, number one. Number two, it seems to me that when blacks kill whites, which is rare, it's swift justice. When whites kill blacks, it's rebellion. When it's black on black, there's a shrug of the shoulders. There's a kind of permissiveness. Guns in, drugs in, jobs out. Racial disparity and alienation and mistrust are very combustible formulas, factors.
And on the other hand, and let's take that into account, Dr. Carson, because I want to put up some other numbers. If we have the capability, here we go. Ferguson is 67% black. But on its 53-member police force, 50 of the 53 officers are white. Only three are black, and 86% of traffic stops in Ferguson last year targeted black. Dr. Carson, you talk about the young, angry Ben Carson in Detroit. If you were a young man living in Ferguson, wouldn't that be a big problem for you?
It would be a big problem, and people in Ferguson and in all the cities, I think, need to get more involved in the process. What percentage of people in Ferguson voted in the last statewide election? I think you'll find it was less than 20% of the black community. We need to get people involved in what's going on. Without question, that will make a huge difference in what goes on. And also, you know, as a young person, the thing that changed me was my mother made me read books, and I read books about people of accomplishment. And what I came to understand is that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you in life, it's you. It's not the environment, and it's not somebody else. Do those things play a role? They do. And if you want to focus on them, you can have a life that is completely controlled by others, but you can take control of your own life. These are messages that we must get across to people. We must reinstill the can-do attitude in America, not the what can you do for me or what have you done to me attitude.
Well, culture is a big factor in our behavior, but Rosa Parks was not guilty. But the law said it colored from the rear and whites from the front. There's a culture here of racial harassment of black people. We're three times our unemployment rate in the country, number one in infant mortality, number one in short life expectancy, number one in unemployment. And so we cannot escape the need for something, since we're talking about broadly, like the Kerner Commission report, where we analyze this very broadly. We were separate and unequal, now we're free and unequal. We must have a kind of White House conference on jobs, justice, and equality. I'm convinced.
Dr. Carson?
I would just say, first of all, to Reverend Jackson, thank you for what you have done in the past, particularly during your days with Reverend Martin Luther King. I appreciate it very much. And I would have to say that we really are not on different sides of this issue. Maybe we come at it from different points of view, but I think we all want the same thing. We want people to move up in our environment, not to be satisfied and not to be dependent. And there are a lot of interconnecting parts that go with that. We're going to have to remove some of the issues that are depressing the economy so that we can create the kinds of jobs and the kinds of right situations so that people have the kinds of options that they need. We need to talk in the black community about the $1 trillion of resources that exist there and how they need to learn how to turn over dollars in our own community before we send them out to develop wealth and how to reach back and pull others up. Some of the worn-out policies of the do-gooders have not helped the black community.
Dr. Carson, we're going to have to leave it there. Obviously, a lot more to talk about.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. That was Ben Carson and Reverend Jesse Jackson on Fox News on yesterday morning, and they had promoted that. And wanted to hear what you guys had to say. I'm going to start with Ben in studio. Please don't shout out. I'll make sure everybody gets through. What did you think?
Well, I thought that Jesse Jackson sounded like he was reading from a teleprompter, and Ben Carson was speaking from the heart.
What did you think about the content of what they said?
I think both are right, to a degree.
Pianchi, since you're in Missouri.
Well, I appreciate the things that Jesse Jackson have done throughout the history. He makes the same assertions even before there was electronic teleprompters. And I see where Ben Carson do agree that the two of them are actually fighting for the same cause. They both recognize the same enemy. He's just saying it in a different way. The same way me and Jeff get along.
So why don't we do something? I mean, since we all know, I mean, why are we not proactive about this, in your opinion?
Well, I think they are. We are proactive. We're just proactive in different ways. And
independently.
Well, it's not necessarily independent, because those who report our getting alongness don't report our getting alongness. They want to report our fighting and divisiveness, that is.
South Carolina, what are you thinking? Diva? Okay, South Carolina, what are you thinking? Did you hear that? With Ben Carson, the exchange between Ben Carson.
I actually saw it when it was going on.
What did you think?
I think he made a very good point that you know, we're trying to make this thing into a racial issue when it's really not a racial issue. It has everything to do with your character and who you are. I mean, I don't care how, you know, my mom is sitting right here in the office with me right now, and they'll tell you, you know, it's like, you know, you don't go out and do stupid stuff, and you don't have to worry about it. I mean,
I don't know. People get harassed doing nothing. I mean, no, now don't get it twisted. You know, I've known the case where they go down. Huh? I mean, people get harassed doing sitting down doing nothing. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, again, I just saw Jackson preaching division. That was it. No answers, no ideas. It was just a simple message of division. And Dr. Carson was trying to bring the conversation around to answers. Let's have a dialogue. Let's have a conversation about it. And that's the issue that we're seeing in this country, especially with issues like what's going on in Ferguson, is that, you know, you're going to have one group that's preaching nothing but division, and you're going to have another group saying, wait a second, let's get the facts in and see what really happened, and then come to answers. What can we, you know, with Ferguson, if the cop is guilty, the cop is guilty. And obviously it shows that there's still, a racial issue in this country. Then let's have the dialogue and the conversation and do something about it. That's what I got out of the interview.
Go ahead, Diva. You're next, Eric.
I never thought I would be more inclined to agree with Dr. Carson, but I'm sorry, Jesse, you got owned on that one. Jesse just came off as basically talking points and a lot of rhetoric and not really engaging in a real discussion. I like that Dr. Carson talked about how he overcame his issues in being an angry young black youth. And you see him today, you would have never even thought that he was like that. And then if you put him as an angry black youth in Ferguson and not having the type of mother that he has, he could have ended up as a Mike Brown. Why? Because when you teach your children not to respect authority, when you let them think it's okay to grow up being angry about what's going on around them and not take responsibility for their own actions, they'll end up in a situation, unfortunately, like how Mike Brown ended up.
Go ahead, Eric.
What I found very telling about that whole segment was the forum. It was on Fox News with Chris Wallace. You know, why doesn't these liberal networks ever make an effort to put two guys like that in the same room and let them talk it out? But I think America needs to see that, especially black Americans. They need to see guys like Ben Carson and Jesse Jackson or Ben Carson and Al Sharpton debating back and forth. That's what a move forward and make progress, in my eyes.
Let me say that, I agree with you, Eric, because when I look at Melissa Perry Harris, whatever her name is, I look at her show.
Melissa Harris Perry.
Whatever. I look at her show and it's like you have such an opportunity to bring inclusion and bring together and to bring both sides to be very, very factual, to have everyone sitting at the table agreeing to disagree and then coming together with solutions that we can go out into our own life and try to implement them. And it looks as though there's no one that wants to ever do that. They want to have these town hall meetings, but they want to be preacher ready, but they never want to be active. And I don't understand why no one wants to take a proactive role so that we can advance a better America. Right now, I am very, very, you know, this ALS thing with the bucket dumping on people's heads, I'm glad to see the unity of it. It's really good to see America's, you know, the diversity of America coming together for a solid cause that's not a tragedy, even though they're trying to support something that's a tragedy. But it's for a good cause. Everybody's doing it. You got old, young, up, down, in, out, everybody. They're all a part of it. And then people hate on that. I'm looking at also what happened at the Panarathon yesterday. You had people from all over the valley, all hues, ages, you know, spectrums of life, coming together to walk for a good cause and bringing unity.
You want the short answer?
What?
You know why they're not coming to bring people together in Ferguson? There's no money to be made on it.
But I mean, this is the issue.
The separation is where the money's at.
But the thing is, if money... Money is going to fail us because if this ever lights up, it's going to blow. And if you, I mean, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to blow. And there won't, you won't be able to put that genie back in the bottle. Hold on. I've got a couple more calls to pick up. 267, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Dr. Carson is correct. Inside the inner city, you have a culture of people who basically don't want to do anything now. And I think when it comes to Jackson, he's been in the civil rights movement for so long, he's not in touch in terms of the types of behaviors that people currently have that reside inside the inner city. The problem is the jobless rate is so high, and black people have to compete with all types of immigrants that are starting to come into the city. I think if you continue to have these types of protests, it's going to hurt the possibility of black men
to actually get jobs
in the future.
But don't you realize the reason why we're not getting the job is because we're not preparing for the job that we need to get?
Well, that's not true.
But also,
hold on, Bianchi, that's true.
Yeah, but also, it's also a sense that black men have that because of these types of injustices, that the whole system tends to owe them something, and if they constantly see these types of images on television, they're going to have that mindset. And at the same time, you have all of these immigrants that are coming here, and they're
but
the ones who are able
my,
to take
but,
the jobs from
but
them.
My question is, but my question is, don't we realize that when we get our own, we can do our own? But, you know, as Dr. Carson said, but he had a mama that made him respect authority.
Right.
She made him read books in the summer. She made him sit down and read. I don't know if she could read or not, but she made him read. And so my question is, when do we start taking ownership of our young men, turning them into men, making them read? And making
well, you
them
don't
take
have
part.
Parents
ahead,
that are actively involved. You don't have parents.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, what's going on here is you have the dynamic of people think that their own is government programs. And that's why they don't know. They don't know that if they had their own that they would be better and they would do better. We're not employed, and we're voting for people that are shutting down industries, and then you don't realize that when you have cheap energy costs and these other things, that more people work. They don't think like that. They think of stupid stuff like, let's have this infrastructure building. Where are you getting the money to build the infrastructure, and how is that going to sustain anything? That doesn't sustain. What's the same stuff in our economy is how our economy works. And because black people came here in a disparate state and people had to teach that you were not better or good and kept you in a disparate state, you're not going to get the jobs. I don't care. Many of the jobs you may prepare for, you're still not going to get them. You know, I sat right here in Youngstown, number one on the list for a sanitarian job and did not get it. Okay, just on testing alone. So let's not play games about racism either. So there is plenty of that. And our preparation is we don't need the preparation we don't need. We need to get away from the people that keep stone handling us and beating us. And then we that's all we know how to do. We don't go out and hunt anymore.
Let me say this.
I got to
throw this into the mix because, as I said, I went to see Cory Booker on Friday. He was here in Youngstown for the Democrat chairman's annual dinner. And Cory talked about how his father was an orphan and how the community came together to rally behind him and to navigate his way and to support him as he went through his growing up process and then to get him off to college. And he said when he went out there in the 60s, he couldn't get a job anywhere, so he went to work for the Urban League. And the Urban League indoctrinated him in a way, and let me say this about the Urban League. The Urban League, who's supposed to be a nonprofit, nonpartisan, which means they should be a equal, truthful organization that's going to tell you right and wrong no matter what side of the fence it's on, politically, has gotten into bed with the Democrat Party and stayed there. Never try to infiltrate the Republican Party and to make a difference, and has been carrying the water for the Democrat Party for so long that they owe them their whole life, because if they ever take away their support, they won't exist. And what's happening is you've got people like Cory Booker and others that are like them that have become a Democrat with a Republican message about self-reliance, because you can't have government programs that you depend on from birth until death and then say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go to work and get a job. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something here.
Well,
you have a lot of people that are moving more towards the independent side of things, and
but not
they don't
Philadelphia,
follow
Philadelphia, not
the Democrats
in the black. No.
I mean,
the numbers clearly show Philadelphia. The numbers clearly show nationwide that we are still voting straight Democrats. Don't tell me we're independent because we're not.
But you mentioned about the Urban League. The Urban League ahead here, Buford, he was a Republican and had held that spot for a long time. But here's another point. We talk about what black mothers don't do leads to their problems. Well, Darren Wilson's mother was convicted for stealing and forgery for was sentenced to 5 years in prison. He didn't have a father, but yet instead he could come into a black community and get hired by a police officer. But a black child whose mother, as John say, don't care and has a culture of don't want to do nothing, that black child can't go into a Crestwood. That black child can't go into a St. Charles County, which is 99% white, and get hired.
Pianchi, I disagree with you, and let me tell you why. I will
on
say
what?
This.
On
you,
Darren Wilson's mother's being sentenced
to 5 years
for stealing and forgery?
No, don't try to tell me what I'm disagreeing with. I'll tell you what I disagree with you on. What I'm saying is we can go and we can infiltrate into these communities if we choose to. The problem is most of us have a fear of even going to apply there because we don't believe that they will hire us.
Well, I went to apply in the one, and you want me to tell you what they told me? So that's not true.
I'm not going to tell them.
I don't think it needs to be told on your show.
Tell me, what year did you go apply?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you apply in the last 10 years?
So
last
at some point in my life, I was...
we're not talking about yesterday. You sound like a man who sat on the school board with me, and he said, when I was a principal of school in 1972. Well, man, we're in 2002. We are far away from that. I can't go there. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good. As I recalled in a previous show, you know something about horses, right?
A little bit. I like to ride them.
Okay. You know that most trained horses you can put trained horses you can put a rope around their neck, drop it down to the ground, and they won't move. They don't think
that.
They can. They don't think they can.
That makes sense to me.
You get the analogy?
Yes, I do.
And there you go.
Yes, I do. Yes,
I do.
You've
heard it so many times that you can't, you won't. You won't do it. You won't attempt to do it. You won't attempt to succeed.
I got to take a break. I don't believe it'll be easy because nothing is. It's a competitive world, so you got to fight for what you want. But if you fight long enough and if you go after it long enough, you can go get it if you choose to. The question is, how are we going to put the drive back in you to so that you're prepared to compete?
You can't. No, not any of us can do things that get what we want in life. You can't do the things that was happening in Ferguson. You can't do it. You cannot do that.
The problem is they don't know. The problem is I can only fight how I know. So if I'm not a boxer and I get into a ring with Mike Tyson, I'm going to go fight like I fight on the street. Because I don't know. And remember, boxing and fighting is two different things. And I don't know how to fight. And what's happening is these people are frustrated, but no one has told them the rules of engagement and how to fight the system. And so they only fight with what they know. And they're met with resistance. And those people that are in leadership will not tell them how to fight with their head. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you, and you can disagree with me all you want, but this is from the people I've talked to. What they're seeing down in Ferguson amounts to what children do. They act out. You know what? You're not going to get a seat at the table if you act out that way. The only seat that you're going to get is at the little kids' table. It's not going to happen. You can't do what that kind of behavior You can't do it and expect to succeed.
But do you?
It's
but
not
do you understand?
Going to
but
happen.
But 440. Do you, are you? See, this is what I want you to hear. What I'm saying. Don't just listen.
I'm
to me.
Hearing
hear
you.
This. Listen. If you don't know any other way, you will do as children do. And what's happening is, no one is going down there. As Dr. Carson said, if you go back last year and find out who voted, he said, I'll bet you less than 23% did.
The Democrats have 54%
did.
How many?
54% wrote it.
In Ferguson and Ferguson City?
Yes.
Or St. Louis County?
Participation among black
Ferguson, 54%. Well, you know, I know what the kid that witnessed the thing feel like when nobody believed him.
So, 54%
make
voted?
One more statement?
So, hold
can
on.
I make
one? No,
a lower
minute,
percentage voted
know.
There than voted in Youngstown, I bet.
They did. Now, the question is, why didn't they vote for somebody black?
Yeah, because we didn't have any black candidates, probably.
Why not? Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Now, Pianki might know this. Now, is Ferguson set up kind of like Warren Youngstown, where they have wards?
Yes, city
no,
council
Ferguson
wards.
Ferguson is the one. Ferguson, the city of Ferguson, yes, it has more than one city council person.
I mean,
that represents a certain area. I don't know. They probably
don't
understand
why,
you say, Eric?
If you're 70% African American, how come there are no black council members that represent those communities, those wards?
Ain't nobody running.
Probably because nobody's running.
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead, 440.
You know,
and they should.
And we talked about we have to have more open dialogue. I agree with
that.
You know, all right, that was a – I still don't know if this cop was right or wrong.
Neither
all right,
does
anybody
so
else. It comes out. Well, I'll wait. I'm going to wait. I mean, the guy could be wrong, all right? But here's the thing. We've had three other black-on-white shootings, and this is officers in this country this year. And you think that this is the only way this has happened? We've had black-on-white kill, and this is kill, not just shoot, but kill. And nothing's reported. We don't hear about that. We don't hear about the murders.
Listen, Ferguson, Ben Holman, you got to understand, social media has a lot to do with this also.
Exactly, but I'm
and,
saying
and let me say,
it's
hold
not
on.
Just one way. And everybody making it out
but
like
the question,
it's
but
one
the thing
way.
Is, but the problem is, it is habitual. And we don't know what it's over. When you have a person, the guy who got shot 54 times in New York, getting out of his car on his way to get married or something, and the officers were acquitted, don't you think that's a little bit obsessive?
Nope.
I have no
54
idea.
Times?
I didn't see it. I don't
see,
know
that's
about
what I'm saying.
It.
That wasn't.
So,
But what I'm saying is that may not have been on your radar, but it got to me, and I'm like, wow, 54 times. I mean, what were they trying to shoot? A rhinoceros? Whoa.
Well, and here,
on a
and
city
here
street.
I can go the other way. What about the woman in Houston suburbs that took that 12-year-old little boy and cut him up with cutting torches? Come on.
I didn't hear about that one.
If that would have happened the other way around, every city would be burning by now.
But
and
the
you
question
know it
is,
and I know it.
But listen, but the question is, there is a problem here, and we
yes.
don't want to deal with it. The problem is there is a problem.
Yeah, there is
there
a problem.
Is, and
that's
you have
not
to realize
the problem.
Our
what they need to do is institute – what they need to do is basically try to put in the psychological testing in all of the police departments to find out who are the officers who are overly – who
it
have,
is bigger than that.
This type of behavior.
That's
where
a demand.
They tend
that's
to be
a demand
very aggressive,
too.
And they have power control issues.
That's teachers' fault.
That's not. Neither one
I
of them are going to happen. Remember, you guys got unions.
Oh,
Tracy, can I say something?
Yeah. Hold on, Bianca. What'd you say, Jeff?
Real quick. That happens automatically. Come on.
I hear what John said. They do that already. That's part of you being able to serve as an officer. You must undergo psychological testing.
Jeff.
Yes.
Get off that speakerphone. I got to take a break. I'll be back.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That test that you're talking about, it's very rudimentary. I think they have to do a better job at that, and I think they have to really do a better job of what they're doing with teachers. Too many kids right now are getting abused.
You know, they had
Ferguson
School Board hired a black superintendent, and when he came to work, one of the things he noticed that all the teachers in the district was white. So he started implementing a program to change that makeup. And guess what? They fired him.
But guess what?
Hello, my mic on?
They deserve to be fired because the people didn't pay enough attention to change it. That's what the stupidity is. They're 67% black.
So I think you were talking about a white school district.
But I think with the situation in Ferguson,
white school,
just have people who don't participate in voting. That's the problem with Ferguson. You don't have that 54%
of eligible voters came out and voted in the 2012 election, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you have a very low percentage who are voting in Ferguson.
That ain't a low percentage. That's a damn good percentage. I bet more came out in Ferguson to vote than they did in Philadelphia.
How many of those voters in Ferguson
some problem
were black,
if
like
you have
Ben
an all
Carson
white local government?
In the local government in voting, only 20% of that 60% of 60 some percent of the black community voted. So their goal is to show versus how many voted
54%
of
eligible blacks in Ferguson came out and voted in the last election.
The 2012, but of course, blacks will vote in a presidential election.
There haven't been no election in Ferguson since then.
Have nothing to do with your local election.
That is a local election. You had local.
We're talking about the local
council
government.
Running at the same time. Their mayor was running at the same time.
We're talking about the percentages of blacks voting in local government.
It was ballot issues. That was local ballot issues on the ballot in 2012.
How many of them voted in the primary? How many of them voted in the primary to where they can get black candidates? They can get some real change going. How many of them voted
they
in primary?
They can't. The average voting citizen cannot make a person run for a open spot.
Okay, Bianchi, but again, just because they voted in a 2012 election doesn't mean they really were they really voting for their local politics, or were they just voting for the president? I mean, let's keep it real. Blacks will overwhelmingly vote in general elections. They don't get involved
in midterm,
local elections.
The midterm elections.
Primary.
That's true. All you got to do is look at the numbers and results at the end of the day.
They just had an election here in August in Ferguson. Those numbers are not in yet. I would bet you that they was high also.
On the black side or the white side?
No, actually,
there ain't hardly no white folks in Ferguson. I keep telling you that.
Where they actually gave the numbers
for the local government elections, and the white folks there are old, elderly white folks. Only 60-something percent predominantly black. So where's the other 50-something?
It ain't no 50.
The other 30-something.
The participation rate for blacks was something like 15 to 20% in the Ferguson elections.
That's at least 54% of the eligible voters
came out and vote. Hell, you had a black county superintendent that was running, Charles Dooley.
I mean, assuming they're all ready to vote, the only thing is, if you had a
participation rate that was 85%, you definitely wouldn't see a situation in Ferguson where you basically have the whole local government being white.
That's not true, neither. When Harold Washington ran for election, he told them, if you want me to run for mayor, you need to go out and enroll another 30-some-odd thousand voters in Chicago.
Yeah, but the whole situation with Chicago was not Ferguson. I mean, in Ferguson, you basically have a population that's over 75% black. So what I'm saying is, if you
were saying 67, now you don't take it up to 75. How are we going
to
reach the 100?
Like I said,
the whole local government being white.
Well, wait a minute, John, hang on for a second. Debo has been saying 67%. Now you don't took it to 75, so when are we going to get to 100% black population?
The Ferguson population is only in this
state. What I'm basically saying is that you have a high
I don't know what you're saying, man.
A number of blacks that live in that county.
How many people came out and watched?
If you had a high participation rate of blacks who were voting, you would not have a local government.
Well, it's not true. Blacks vote for white candidates also, man.
As long as the candidates are Democrat, they'll vote for a white guy over a black Republican.
Well, blacks will come out and vote. Blacks vote for white candidates.
But the reason why the white guy is
where you had black candidates that were put up
in primaries. That's the problem. So if you have a black candidate going against a white Democratic candidate in a primary, guess who's going to win? The white guy. Why? Because black folks don't participate in primaries. And we don't particularly participate in off-year elections.
Well, they do. They do participate in primaries because the primaries here set who's going to run in the general election. So they do participate in primaries. That's not true.
No, they don't. They do not. I'm sorry.
Well, they do here. I don't know what they do in Ohio. They
do
it here.
Do not participate in primaries, especially if it doesn't have anything to do with the president.
Well, let me ask you something. Charles Dooley was a black county executive. How did he get elected over and over again?
They would not be that underrepresented.
In the primary election, he ran against Republicans. So how did he get elected? How did he win?
Get out there and vote.
How did Charles Dooley? How did Charles Dooley be able to appear on the general ballot?
By a dominant white government and their majority black. This is a lie.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching us tonight. The truth about Ferguson. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. I came back from vacation because I am furious, about how the shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown is being reported and how various people are reacting to it. So let's run it down. Mr. Brown is a victim, shot six times by Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson, who up until August 9th had a very good record. Now, some suspect Wilson of murder, and a grand jury is hearing the case. Also, Attorney General Eric Holder went to Ferguson, Missouri today to meet with FBI agents and state authorities who are conducting separate investigations. Good. The Fed should look into this case, and their investigation should be transparent. That is, Americans should get hard information as it comes out. Which brings us to this video of Mr. Brown stealing from a convenience store and pushing the clerk around. Agitators call the release of the video a smear against Michael Brown and his family, further inflaming the situation. But facts are not smears, and this goes to Mr. Brown's state of mind on the day he was killed. Americans have a right to know what happened leading up to the shooting. You don't suppress an important piece of information in a case like this when only one side of the story is being reported by the media, which is generally terrified of any racial situation. Then there's the looting, disgraceful. And one guy even has a gun, all right, shoots the lock off the door while his cohorts break in and steal the merchandise. It doesn't get any lower than this. The people rioting and looting in Ferguson are dishonoring the memory of Michael Brown and his grieving family. They are insulting them. Again, flat out disgraceful. The Factor has been investigating those arrested. On Monday night, 78 people were taken into custody, and we believe about 30 of them have criminal records. Only four out of the 78 are from Ferguson. Many of the others are troublemakers who just streamed into town. But the liberal media will never report that, nor will they report the true picture of criminal justice in the USA. Instead, NBC News pays Al Sharpton to deliver garbage like this.
A young man, 18 years old, shot down in the streets unarmed. And rather than you address it, you tried to smear the young man rather than uphold the principles of justice and dignity. I want you to know these parents are not going to cry alone. They're not going to stand alone. They're not going to fight alone. We have had enough.
Enough of what, Al? Enough of what? Police efficiency? In 2012, the last stats available from the FBI, there were about 12 million arrests in the USA. That averages out to 34,000 arrests per day. In 99.9% of those cases, the perpetrator was not killed by police. In fact, just over 400 fatal police shootings a year are recorded in this country, according to the FBI. So let me restate. 12 million arrests a year, 400 fatal shootings, many of them justified. And Al Sharpton has the nerve to insult the American police community, men and women risking their lives to protect us. This charlatan has the gall to do that, and NBC News is paying him. My God, why is that acceptable? Also on MSNBC, another agitator said this.
There is a war on black boys in this country. In my opinion, there is a war on African-American men. It is an absolutely deplorable situation that the United States, which is supposed to be the greatest nation on earth, sits back and allows black boys to be murdered.
Black boys being murdered in the context of Ferguson. Are you kidding me? The truth is that 91% of black homicide victims are killed by other blacks. 91%. Yet that woman tries to mislead folks by accusing American law enforcement of shooting down young black men in the streets. It's beyond belief. What is going on in this story is beyond belief. Yet these people get away with it. And in certain places, they're even respected. Incredibly, Al Sharpton is going to speak at the funeral of Michael Brown on Monday morning. The slogan the racial agitators are using in Ferguson is, hands up, don't shoot. They apparently believe that Michael Brown was trying to surrender when Officer Wilson shot him dead. Maybe that's true. We'll find out. But MSNBC put a person on the air who said Mr. Brown was shot in the back. That turns out to be false, according to an autopsy. We also hear today that Officer Wilson has an orbital blowout fracture of his eye socket. The factor has not been able to confirm that, and we do not want to try this case on television. We're only reporting the alleged injury to demonstrate that there will be much more to come in this case. That is why there is an investigation and a grand jury and a trial process. But to the race hustlers, Officer Wilson is already guilty. They've convicted him. Their slogan is, no justice, no peace. I guess that's lynch mob justice, because those people will never accept anything other than a conviction of murder in this case. They don't really care what happened. They want Officer Wilson punished. And he should be punished if he murdered Michael Brown. If a jury finds Wilson guilty, he should be put in prison for the rest of his life. But Officer Wilson is entitled to the presumption of innocence that we all have under our Constitution, something Al Sharpton will never give him, because Sharpton only cares about his own self-aggrandizement. And if he has to stoke racial hatred to get that, that's what Sharpton will do. I know this man. His record defines him. Yet he has succeeded in bringing his brand of racial grievance to the White House. When President Obama announced his Brother's Keeper initiative, I was there, Sharpton was there. Finally, the president himself. He was completely correct to call for calm in Missouri. That is his job, to lead the nation. But now, the president should step aside and allow his own Justice Department, headed by Eric Holder, certainly sympathetic to Michael Brown, to uncover the facts. As you saw with the O.J. Simpson acquittal, our justice system can be very flawed, but it's all we have. It's the only thing separating us from the anarchy that Al Sharpton and others want to impose. What happened to Michael Brown should never happen to any American. What happened after his death should never happen in this country. But it is happening, and only the truth will overcome the chaos.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. I wanted to hear some commentary on that because I tended to agree with him for the most part.
Yeah, well, I definitely think the whole situation with Michael Brown is a situation where you're dealing with a lot of jobless black men. And I'm not sure if
the police
officer was
wrong. Do these black men want a job?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
I'm
not sure.
No, Philadelphia, answer the question. Do these black men want a job? Do they want to work?
Well, no, but I think what has happened is you have a culture of contempt which has started to grow inside the inner city. And now you're starting to see the jobless rates among black men start to explode, especially
but
if they're dealing with all of these immigrants that are coming into the inner
city
and they're taking jobs away from them.
Everybody keeps on bringing up the – listen, honey, we keep on bringing up the immigrants. I mean, I know immigration is a problem in America, but this unemployment problem and this lack of work, I mean, it goes to the root of not being able to read by the third grade, if you want to know the truth about it. It goes to the feminization of America, and it goes to when they threw the black man out of the house and told women that they were in charge. So our young boys, they really don't want a job. They want money.
Right.
They don't want to work. And see, so I'm not going to give them a pass on that. Now, there are some. And those that want, I'm going to help. I met a young man the other day. I'm going to try to get him into the union. Plumbers and pipefitters, if that's where he wants to go, go put a call in and say, listen, got a young man, and as long as he can go to the bathroom and a cup and it don't start a fire, he's in business. But this is the issue. We blaming other people. We keep on blaming something else when it really begins with us. I mean, you got to realize, if Al Sharpton can fly from New York to Missouri two or three times a week, he ought to be able to make a phone call and get some of these brothers that want to work a job. I mean, if you're working at MSNBC, you ought to be able to get some of these young people an internship, a paid internship, to see if they want to go into broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, there's a $300,000 raise for this
job. Hold on,
I'm sure Al Sharpton got that laying around.
If I'm somewhere, I need to be trying to carry somebody with me somewhere. So when I see something, it's like, this is what you do, and I'm going to call Ben and say, Ben, do you have a job for a young man? I think we've tried that, did we not?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out too well.
No, but we did.
But we did try it.
Yeah.
And it was a good job. He was paying him. But you got to understand that you got to want to work. You got to show up on time. You got to look halfway decent. You got to take your lunch break, come back, and work for a living. And we need to quit coddling our young people. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Well, you know, Al Sharpton did do that. You know, he came here to St. Louis when we shut down Highway 70 because you had contractors, white contractors, coming through our community, North St. Louis community, putting up, doing highway work based on a contract. And when they shut down the highway, then I got calls from these white contractors. They wanted me to take over erecting a bridge at Grand and Highway 70 and also at Shreve and Highway 70. With black workers. You had black workers who, wait a minute, let me finish. So you had black workers that was prepared to work on the Mississippi River Bridge who, when they pee in a cup, it would not light up or blow up.
Okay. Well,
but they
my question is, they wouldn't hire them?
My question is this. Why do blacks have to always threaten to do extreme things in order to get places where others, white workers, don't have to do those things? It's
because
just a phone call.
Want me to tell you why? I can tell you why.
No, I want one of your guesses at answering, and let your guess answer, too.
But I don't have any guess. They're all on the phone. I can tell you why. Because they black. You know you black. Your mama told you the same thing she told me. And because
you're
black,
you're saying
you got
that.
To
is
be
that
the
their opinion, too? Is that their opinion?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's their opinion
doesn't that just jump out to you that therein lies the problem? I wonder if your white callers really understand, or listeners really understand and really get that. that blacks
Thank
tend
you,
to
Diva.
Have to go to extreme measures where
yeah.
whites don't? And do they really see the problem why there is such this animosity and why there is this so-called
yeah.
race war?
No.
No.
Of
no.
course they
don't.
Play guess answer that.
They speak
no.
against it.
Benjamin,
right,
Cole. No.
No.
No, they don't see it. Mm-hmm.
Of course they don't see it.
Wow, so
but
you don't see
it,
you don't get it.
The solution, Ben.
Yeah,
Ben, what's the solution?
Put out your opinions on it and make it seem like as where there's no problem, there's no real issue. You guys are just the problem.
Well,
I don't
it
think
seems
Ben's
to
ever
me
said that,
that.
What'd you say, Matt?
I said I don't think Ben's ever said that. I think what like people like Ben and I try to do is trying to understand the situation through this forum. Listen, in my own life, I know a lot of black people, and honestly, all the black people I know aren't having the issues that we're talking about here. They haven't really had to work harder. I know firefighters, teachers, one's a cop. I know, and they really haven't had to jump through hoops to get their job. So in my case, in my personal case, no, I don't understand it except through forums like this, and I'm trying to get in on the conversation. I'm not denying it. I'm just.
So what's your solution for what we just got through describing? Because the reason
Bianca,
the ones that you
the
know
solution.
Don't have to go through what they're going
Bianca.
Through because of people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
The solution is
my
not a short term.
Hold on.
The solution is not a short term solution. You have to start with the kids today. You've got to integrate. You've got to let them know, you know, that we're all children of God. There's no difference. We are all created equal. And you know, once the adults poison the minds of the children, it's too late. So, you know, for me, you know, going to a school that wasn't all white was wonderful. It gave me a different perception than my grandparents had.
And until the world stops seeing black people in stereo. And we do the same thing.
True.
They see black people in stereo. They look at President Barack Obama, and we all support him. We will not speak out against him, even when he's got his, you know, he got a booger in his nose. We won't even call it out. And because we do that, they're like, but you know he's wrong here, right? Oh, no, we make excuses for him because he looks like us even when he's wrong. So they look at us in stereo. So when they look
Hold
at
on,
us in stereo, so when I do something wrong, I actually set a precedent for people to come behind me. And we don't understand that. I go get a job in a place, and I'm supposed to represent my community as well as my family. And I go in there, and I don't do right.
But why
so
is it that blacks are
stereotype.
Looked at as community, whites are looked at as individually? They don't
because
judge
it's a
all
white man's world.
All whites.
Because it's still
it's a white,
man. A white
it's
man's
not a
world.
White man.
And
it's
I understand exactly
world.
What Diva said.
Like you're living in a white man's culture. Not a white
okay,
girl.
But what
okay,
I'm saying is,
okay,
this is about your white collar and your
go,
white
hold on, Diva. Girl. Hold on, Diva. Go ahead, Michigan.
Okay, listen. And this is where you have a hard time figuring whether or not people are being genuine. Now, in the common denominator, now science bears this out. The common denominator for blacks being in the position that they're in within this culture is race. That's not me making it a racial thing. That is the common denominator. Now, if the social science backs that up, see, this is the point. This culture uses science for everything, technology, medicine, you name it. But when it comes to the black experience, and they even use it in social science in their universities, but when it comes to the black experience, as soon as you apply the science, people say it's rhetoric, just like Diva. When Jesse Jackson was giving you all of the factors in which he was telling you about the black experience, and you said, oh, Ben Carson was speaking from the heart, and Jesse Jackson is speaking rhetoric. You see, what he was doing was giving you the statistics, the background information, the things of that nature. If a person does not understand that the common denominator for blacks social position within this European culture is race, then you can never have an honest conversation. Not that you don't have to stay there, but you have to understand the common denominator. Now,
if whites don't want to, if whites are not interested in doing that, then they're being disingenuous, and that would include the caller, the white caller on this line. Both Matt, Ben, if the science is there, well, I know a black firefighter, or I know a black teacher. See, that's scapegoating the issue, and you have that all the time on this show. You see?
How is that scapegoating the issue, though? I mean, I can only talk about my own personal experience. I'm not trying to be rude or not show respect for the issue by saying it. I honestly, that's my experience. That's my personal experience with it. I mean, how do you want me to judge Michigan?
Okay, I can tell you.
When you're talking, about a group, and see, I already know you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're not talking about your individual experience. See, and I've listened to you, and I know you know that. So see, that's why I have no question but to say you're just being disingenuous. You know that you can't, if you're talking about a group problem, you know that you can't run to your personal experience and say, I know a firefighter, I know a teacher, thus all of y'all can be firefighters and all of y'all can be teachers. You know better than that.
And you know another thing too, Matt. The problem is that if that one firefighter that you know, you think he's going to open his mouth and complain about the fact how things are going and how what's being said and the fact that the fire district won't hire blacks, the fact that the chief and I got it in the newspaper say I ain't hiring niggers, huh? The fact that on the Mississippi River Bridge, my grandson. And about 3 years ago, he was 14 years old, and he was interviewed by the news, and it's in the paper. He said, my grandfather went through this. My father went through this. Now you're saying I have to go through this too? The problem is white males. Not all of them. Slick is good. Not so blind
anytime
Mike understands.
Anytime you're in that type of situation, what you need to do is file a lawsuit. And that person needs to go to the EEOC and file a complaint. Anytime
no,
they
it
come
wasn't that person, John. It was the fact,
like that.
The fact that you had about 100 black people, women and males, that were properly trained for the construction jobs on that project, and they was also drug tested. The one
right.
guy that they hired, who was the loudmouth, so they call him, they drug test him about 12 times in 1 month. I guess they thought he was drunk to say the things that he was saying.
Well, if they're finding that's the case, then you need to put more blacks in the construction
industry. Why do blacks have
to
go through those extremes?
So they can hire
yes.
other
black
workers.
Why do blacks have to go through those extremes?
Why do blacks have to go through extremes? Why do we have to have conversations with our young
because
black
it's
sons
a white man's
about
world.
How they
that's
act
the
when they come when they come across
extremes.
Police officers? Why do we have? If we're all so created equally, as one caller said, then how come the conversation is different with black families versus white families in America?
That's right, Diva. And we also supposed to be United States citizens afforded protection
yeah.
by the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, but you're not.
In Michigan, according to what I just wanted to say one thing to you about what you said about what I said. I was speaking in the context of what the conversation was about. The conversation was about Michael Brown and what was going on in Ferguson. There was no point in Jesse Jackson taking it out of the realm of that conversation because it gets convoluted,
okay.
It gets it mixed up, and that's when white people take a step back and look at us and their ears get tuned off. Not that really need to, for them to hear, but sometimes we need to just stay in the realm of a conversation when it is being discussed instead of taking it out
now,
somewhere else.
I disagree
else.
With that
I'm
because
sorry.
The Jews can always go back and talk about the Holocaust, but blacks cannot talk about the course of events that lead up to the discussion today. Twice do not like that.
If I asked you, why are you wearing brown pants today instead of the black ones you usually wear, you're going to take it in the realm of Jim Crow?
Part of the reason why blacks can't get hired into these larger companies is because they didn't build some type of economic type infrastructure in their own community before they started to integrate. So therefore,
that's
they have
not
nothing
true.
To fall
that
back on.
That is not
on.
True. Blacks have
they have nothing
Blacks
to fall
have
back
shown throughout
on
history that we are capable of building our own economic power structures. But what happens when we get that power, we start being less dependent and frequenting less white businesses.
And
if
that's
you
a
do
problem.
History,
and that's a problem with their behavior is because they have that plantation mentality. They have that self-hate within them.
And
you know,
to
that's
the reason
why they always
run. That's
why
they
always
run
to the white business person to buy their products.
Prior to the L.A. riots, it was
that's another reason why come they
coming
hate.
Along and rioting because of black success. They can't handle it. That's why they still tear down anyone who is not a right-wing conservative who is black. If you are outside of that box and you're black and you're making it to the top, they'll tear you down. And
that's why
come
they hate Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, because Sharpton and Jackson called nationwide boycotts of certain companies, and whites don't like that.
But also, but we're at the point now, it's beyond the boycott. You have to build businesses. I mean, basically, we talk about America, it's all about economics.
If we build these businesses and gain our own
independence,
then what?
And
if it comes after that, you think that they're not going
to
come after us again?
In this country than you currently have.
So, Philadelphia, you think if we built this strong economic system, this black economic system, where, as you in your mind deem, you think they're not going to come after us? Have we not learned anything from Black Wall Street?
Yeah, well, but at the same time, you can't have that type of mentality that you believe they're going to tear it down if you build it. You have to have the incentive to do something now, because what's happening is they're going to bring the immigrants in, and these immigrants over a period of time, over a short period of time, the majority of these people are probably going to take your public sector jobs. Once the public sector jobs are gone, blacks are going to be shut out of the economy completely.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say that we should not be building our own economic infrastructure. What I'm saying is, what's the plan? What's the plan to protect
us? You got to have that in mind when you start to build it. You got to already have that assumption that you're trying to take it once it's big. So
one thing to sit there and say, we need to do this, we need to do that, but yet you don't give anybody any tools or any information or knowledge saying you know they're going to try to come after you, right? So this is what needs to be done to protect us. I don't never hear that part.
Every kingdom in history that's been the case. You got to accept the fact that someone's going to try and take it from you and give it up. You need to protect it.
So how do we do that? How do we as blacks, we can't even band together on social issues about what's going on, the injustices of the black community. How are we going to really band together and protect our community economic infrastructure?
Is start some type of moratorium where the leaders of the community come together and they start to form some type of town halls where they talk about building black businesses again. Because
I'm so tired
at
of
this
the talking.
Point, at
How
this
long
point,
have been
that's
talking?
The only way you're going to survive as a people. You're going to have your own types of economies inside your neighborhoods and inside your communities. That's the only way you're going to survive as a people.
I am so tired of talking. That's all we've been doing since the Civil Rights Movement has ended, basically. It's just talking. I have yet to see anyone who has talked the talk really walk the walk.
And that's part of the problem. You don't have people who are walking the walk. It's people just talking on television. They're not trying to build these institutions, which have to be present.
Hey, I'm back.
And this
is Tracy and friends. You're on WSLM, 8 Michigan. Sorry, I had to cut you off. I had to go pay some bills. Not that you weren't important, but I had to go do it. That was, you know, money comes before everything. Well, let me ask this. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I've got Ben in studio with me. Six and Jeff are out. He's been off somewhere. And tomorrow, Jeff and I will be having some conversation that is going to probably be very, very intriguing. I'm going to talk about Tim Wise, who is a white guy who goes around and tells white folks that they shouldn't be racist. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about him tomorrow. Also, I've got a guy who's going to come on and be a guest with us, and his name, and he's going to be talking about the Beatles summer tour, I think.
But whose summer tour?
Beatles. Beatles, you know, like the
Beatles. Like the
right. And for your information, if you want to know, they are broadcasting the funeral live, I believe, on BET today for Mr. Michael Brown. And I wanted to ask you guys, what was your opinion of that? Do you think that was a good thing to do?
Mm-mm. Turning a saint, or turning a sinner into a saint?
I just don't.
No, making
well,
it
the whole thing
out
is
a
immediate event, which is manufactured anyway. I mean, the whole thing is a manufactured type media event. So they're
but
just
the question,
doing this to start to build up the racial animus in the nation. And what thinking people have to do is get beyond the hype and these type feelings of hatred. They have to analyze the problems that are currently occurring inside these neighborhoods. And
do you think,
and the reason
do you think they
why
can?
These incidents are happening in the first place?
I don't think they can. I really don't. I don't think they can. I don't think they can because people are not taught to think, and they don't realize that they're manipulating them through this whole process more than I ever thought they would ever do. I don't understand. I don't get it that they cannot wake up and see them being used by this. And the same thing would happen with Zimmerman.
Yeah.
I mean, they never came back and retracted and said, you know what, we called racism on this guy, but this guy was really crazy. So we're still running around talking about the system. Now, don't get me wrong. The system had prejudice overtones and because the way they investigated it, based on the young man's word, when Zimmerman said it was self-defense, they walked away and never investigated for anything else because they assumed that Zimmerman was right. So when they overcharged him, yeah, they came back with an acquittal, but we don't realize the system in itself, the way they went about it, was all wrong.
Yeah. Well,
and
basically,
no
all of these
that.
Events are starting to build to a four where black people are going to be set up for a fall. And
that's what I'm saying.
What the president is currently doing is he's opening up the borders. He's letting these people in the country, these immigrants. They're going to eventually, over, as I say, like a five-year period of time, these people are going to be citizens of this country. They're going to move into the public sector, and they're going to get the government jobs that basically in the past these jobs employed the majority of African Americans.
But
these
again,
immigrants
I talk,
from Mexico and Central America, these people
have,
are going to get these jobs.
But listen. I had this conversation on Sunday at the flea market, and a man was telling me that, you know, I'm too hard on black folks, and I'm like, do you realize that nobody's talking about you? Nobody cares. No. I mean, you have made yourself irrelevant unless you go down and burn something up. Nobody listens to what you have to say. Nobody understands that by the third grade, it's not the white young kids that they're really that I'm concerned about not reading in the third grade, because every urban school in America that sits in the inner city is having problems with their education system. And if
right.
a young man can't learn by the third grade, and if he can't read, there's no way he can actually become a thinking, responsible man going forward.
Well, that's
and we're not
it.
Paying
I
attention
mean, the majority of the
you can't get a job. You can't get a job now without an education, and nobody's paying attention to this. And so they're getting ready to make this young man a martyr. Ben and
right.
I were talking during the break. They're gonna make him a martyr. And what happens when they come back at the end of the day in October and say, this officer didn't do anything wrong, it's a justifiable shoot? What are we going to do with that?
Well,
I'm praying
he's not
going to
be on that force.
How far did you say for Yonke?
He's not going to be on Ferguson's force. He's got to go.
But he may not be on Ferguson's force, but listen, you know,
and let me tell you another
attend,
thing.
Hold on.
Let me tell you what's
going to
happen.
When you attend somebody's funeral, don't you know you open up your heart when you're paying attention to this, whether you know them or not? You actually open up a part of your soul, and you have compassion for what's going on. And if you're not a thinking person, do you know that they can hit a trigger and light a cannon?
Yeah.
Exactly, Tracy.
Let me tell you another thing that's going
on. Hold on. Go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Tracy. But listen, the purpose for whether blacks even know it, the message that they're trying to send to the culture is it's a value issue. And the main point is that black life is not valued as much as white life to the culture. Now, that has nothing to do with black-on-black crime. That's an internal issue that we must solve. But if you look at all of the shootings where you have involved white officers and black life, the underlying question is, did you have to take these individuals' lives? And if you were to put a black person behind the triggers of those guns, 99% of those incidents would not have ended in the loss of black life. Now, who would
Michigan.
Disagree with that?
But Michigan, I don't agree or disagree because everything is different. But the problem that I have is, if we respected life and the life of people that look like us, and we demanded respect for life of people that look like us, then when other people saw us, they wouldn't expect for us not to respect life, and they could think that they could take a life. See, they're not respecting life in our community because we don't respect life in our community.
That's not true, Tracy. That's all. I'll explain to you.
Who's making noise? I'm going to explain to you right now how that happens. Somebody has a radio on or something in the background. When you look at the black-on-black crime that goes on in our communities, that we sit passively by night after night, week after week, and never do anything about, we're so desensitized to it, they don't even have to show it. And we're not in uprage. We don't care. The only people that care is the kid's parents or somebody that knew him, if he had someone that knew him when he died. But as far as the community at large, we don't care about the numbers. We find, wow, there was killing over on the south side last night. How many died? Oh, two. Wow.
Yeah.
What happened? One at a time. Go ahead, Eric.
You hear that? They arrested 13 people in connection to that one shooting?
On Winona, and they videotaped it.
Yeah, they won't believe they said it. It'll be on that site called World Star Hip Hop. I guarantee you it'll be on there in no time.
Before you go too far, Tracy, can I just add one thing?
Sure.
Listen, if in fact the statement you just made is true, then that phenomenon should hold true in the white community, meaning this. If that's a true statement that the reason whites are killing blacks because blacks don't value black life, then that whites are killing whites, or white officers will be killing whites because whites don't value white life, because you have per capita you have the white on white crime factor. Whites feel white.
Michigan, listen to this. We can shoot 70 people in our community in one weekend, in one city.
Mm-hmm.
And the community never be outraged by what's going on. We know the dope dealing that goes on in our community. We know what's going on. We know our education system is bad. We know this. We said, it's the white teacher. Well, we've had white teachers all our lives. So this ain't like it's a new white teacher. They always been white for the most part. So the question is, when do we start taking responsibility for our own community and saying enough is enough? Because until we say enough is enough on a proactive basis, we can't be responsive on the other side. Because when an officer, he needs to know that, listen, when you pull your gun at a black young man or a black young lady, you better make sure that it's right. Not because we're going to burn it down because you're afraid of us, but because we care so much about life, not only will we come after anybody, we come after our own, and we'll come after you. And that's not what we do.
Tracy.
Therein lies the point, Tracy. You cannot make white folks value black life. That is something.
You missed the point. I can demand respect if I demand it. The problem is we don't respect ourselves. And how can you have respect if you don't respect yourself? That is wherein lies the whole problem.
So you're saying all blacks don't respect themselves?
A good majority of them, when you look at, let me say this, a good majority of
50% of blacks don't respect themselves.
Listen to what I'm saying, Pionki. A good majority of us right now do not have the self-respect of our grandparents or our great-grandparents. I'll tell you why. Because if we did, we would demand that we think. Because our parents, our great-grandparents, they demanded that they be taught to think. Because even when they couldn't read, they could think. They had respect for one another. They had respect for their parents. They had respect for their community. The churches had respect for the community. The preachers don't even have respect for themselves now. That's what I'm saying. We don't have respect. You would not pimp yourself like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson if you had respect for yourself. But they know that you can go buy them and buy their silence or buy their affirmation for a dollar bill. That's not respect anymore.
Yeah, like Real Preachers of L.A.? Come on now.
That's not respect.
Well,
I don't respect you anymore.
Tracy, what's the number one crime committed in Youngstown?
Homicide.
Okay, now I grew up in Youngstown. Now that's the number one crime. Now I live in Blacklick, which is predominantly white. You'll probably see a speckle handful of black folks. The number one crime here is theft, which is mostly people stealing stuff out of people's garages. Now, why is it that when you go to the white suburbs, their crime, number one crime rate is different than when you go into the inner city, which is predominantly black?
The same reason why when you cross over in the Girard, you automatically hit your brake and go to 25 miles an hour because you know you'll get stopped.
So the factor is, and then the number one crime in Youngstown is homicide, is not whites killing blacks or blacks killing whites. It's blacks killing blacks.
Social economical.
What's your point?
Could I say something, sir? Hold on, Pionki.
You want to make, she made a point where we always want to make this into a black and white thing only when there's a minute killings when it's black and white. But now that we have black-on-black crimes in our city, in our inner cities, we don't do anything about it. We don't get upset about it. This Michael Brown thing has got me upset in the worst way because I see the worst of my own the people in my own community. Because you guys, everybody want to get upset and rally around this boy who is not innocent, who may have caused the circumstances leading to his own death. No one should be killed or shot down, and no. But sometimes the things that we do will precipitate our own ending of our lives. And yet you guys want to make him a martyr and act like, well, this thing is bigger. Well, a white cop shooting a black kid is bigger than blacks killing other blacks.
And a
who
life is supposed
bigger?
To be a life.
Tracy, could I say something?
Hold on, Pionki.
Agree.
Who said it was bigger?
Michigan.
When's
the last time you saw us have a rally for peace in the community when we had murders? And when's the last time we saw us policing ourselves?
You don't see that.
I can answer that question. Let me tell.
With two different issues.
What?
Very quickly. You're talking about the state, meaning you all want to call yourselves American citizens. Clearly, black-on-black crime is not an American issue. They never deal with that. This is simply about trying to make whites value
Michigan.
Black life.
No, it's not. No, it's not about trying to get – listen, I will not – listen, if you throw trash in your yard, when I come by, I'm not going to pick it up. And if you take care of your yard and I know it and I see trash there, there's a high probability that I'm going to come by and pick it up when I see trash in the sidewalk as I walk by because I know Mr. Michigan, he always has a clean yard. We have to understand that this is not about trying to get white people to value us. You don't value yourself, so why should they value you?
That's not
that's
true.
The issue.
Blacks
are,
yeah, what statistics are you using to say blacks don't value themselves?
You can see it by the inner city statistics.
I got a question.
Of education, unemployment, and homicide, incarceration and drug use, and single-parent homes. Anytime a man will spill his seed all over a community and not take care of the child in which he raises, he does not respect the woman, he does not respect the child, and he does not respect himself. And until those numbers change, you can't change it. That's just real. We don't like to talk about it in public, but it's real. Met a young man, he got 10 kids, ain't taking care of none of them. And you want to tell me you respect yourself? You ain't got a job because you don't want to pay child support.
I got a question.
Yeah, Bianchi.
I just put a link in of a story. I believe this was in Ferguson, by the way. But I might be mistaken. Where a white suspect's getting in a fight with the police and breaks his hands. And he's allowed to pursue his due process in the courts. But, of course, if it was a black person, they wouldn't allow that. You know, you had another shooting here in St. Louis where two police shot a man down. And it was at least 35 feet from the man. He had a butter knife.
So why didn't they say something about it? Do you understand?
Because
you really
the news is on the – well, you asked me a question. Go ahead. You answer.
To answer it. I mean, that's what I saw.
No, you
I don't understand. I don't understand why we're fighting over this one and not over that one.
They are bringing it. And as I was telling you before, one of the solutions that's coming to task is to amend, or should I say revise, the state statute on what lethal force is. That's where police's work from. They're not constrained. The wording in that statute is vague, it's too general, it's not specific, and it's too broad. And if you constrain a policeman where he has to be working within the guidelines that the policy that the department sets forth, if he goes out of those guidelines, then he's subjected to not only prosecution, but he also subjected to suits. We're going to target their bonds, and we're going to go beyond the limit of their bonding and to go for their personal effects, their boats, their savings accounts, their houses, and so on and so on and so on.
Bianchi, I agree.
That's what they're doing.
Bianchi, I agree. But this is what I'm saying. It does you no good if they still don't respect you. See, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, you can. I think you ought to be proactive in the law. But if you want, but you need to make sure that no matter, so when you stop me, whether I'm doing wrong or not, that I carry myself with a dignity a way and a respect for myself.
Let me tell you how they're going to make that, what are we doing on that? We're going to require all police officers to have personal cameras on them so that their interactions with the public will be recorded.
Bianchi, let me say this.
Also,
and
we have...
Well, let me
finish.
Listen, no,
Tracy,
I'm
getting ready to hang up.
I got to take a break. Hang up then. Ask me, do I really care if you hang up?
Well, at the same time, we know
just,
that
John,
white suspects are treated differently.
That didn't say make you talk. What I'm saying is I don't have a problem with a camera being there, but I don't want you to respect me because you got a camera on your chest. I want you to respect me because I'm a human being and I'm a citizen and I demand respect.
Amen.
Amen.
The cameras are fine to cover your behind and everybody else's, but I want you to respect me because I respect myself. That's what we're looking for. Don't respect me because you got a camera and you're afraid of a lawsuit. That's crazy. And we need to make sure that we carry ourselves to where we respect ourselves and we demand respect from others. Because respect is the key. I got to take a break. I'll be back.
Hello?
I have a question for all those who grew up in a
different... Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality...
Crazy sound like a damn fool sometimes.
I have a question for you guys because I'm an 80s
baby. She sounds like a damn fool. That's why she sings.
Michigan, your mic is on. We can hear you.
Okay.
Michigan, that's why that black woman is single. I keep telling you, man.
No, I'm serious.
My God.
I'm serious. If Tracy ever gets back...
How in the hell are you going to get somebody... What law are you going to pass on the books to make somebody respect you?
Yeah, you can't.
Crazy-ass shit.
that's what she was saying. She wasn't saying that you have to force them to respect you. She was saying you can't get them to respect you if you don't respect yourselves, because you do understand.
We have U.S. generals. We had a U.S. general that got profiled, threw up against the wall in uniform. So how much more respect can you get from a United States general? A black
But also at the same time, we know that we live in a culture that focuses on white supremacy. We know we live in a culture that basically does not prize blackness or black skin. So the only way around it is you have to build your own sense of a community where you have an economic structure to it. And you can't go full bore with integration.
I have a question for those who are born in this generation. What happened? Because when I look at history, when I read history, and I've seen how blacks were taking care of themselves, they're respectable, yet somewhat submissive prior to the 70s, what happened to where we lost that about ourselves?
Blacks had their own economic paradigm. Who tore them down?
They left the community and they went out to the white community. And they left
the people
who couldn't fend for themselves behind.
So because of the ones who wanted to get away from the hoodlums left the black community.
No, that's not true. Here in St. Louis, they had the Team 4 plan. And, John, you need to study that. John, I dare you, research the Team 4 plan. And you'll see why blacks were forced out of the city into the counties.
Okay, but what
research
I'm asking,
it. It's
what
easy
happened?
To say these things, but research and find out why the reason is.
What happened? How did that change to where we no longer
what
care about our homes,
the blacks
our
who
children,
were middle class or upper middle class who had educations and had some business experience, they took their talents out to the suburbs, out to the white community. You basically left the blacks who were in poverty. They were left to fend for themselves.
And my mother did the same thing. So what I'm asking is, you cannot blame, I'm sorry, that does not compute in my mind that you're blaming it on middle class blacks taking their money somewhere else. How is it that poor black folks cannot, what happened to where even poor black folks back in the day still
poor black folks were promised government benefits
like
and government jobs?
I tell you why, they stupid
and
they deserve what
they
get. Poor blacks are stupid and they deserve what they get.
I mean, even if you had to wear the same overalls over and over again, you made sure they were clean and you were presentable. Now it's like you don't care. You got the mothers walking into the daycare centers, dropping off their kids in their pajamas with the scarves on their head.
Well, what has happened is you have a subculture that has developed inside the inner city, and it's because of these constant government benefits, these government jobs.
They're stupid and they deserve to get into
a sense of complacency.
But that still don't.
Act of
that
personal
still
responsibility
does,
is
not
of the government.
But, Diva, like you're saying, that still does not disparage your character. Your character is who you are. What you're talking about, Diva, is strictly character. And I understand exactly what you're talking about.
No, that's not true.
You know,
they're stupid and they deserve what they
poor,
get.
Just because you're poor, that don't mean you act up.
But also, for a person to develop character, you have to have a sense of identity. You have to have a sense of self. Many poor blacks don't have a sense of identity. They don't have a cultural identity. That's the reason why they don't have ethics and character like you see in other groups of people.
I'm tired of blame everybody else. Blame everything else.
No, they're stupid.
When I research, when I look at history, blacks were oppressed more so than we are today. We were made to be more submissive than we were today. But we still pride and care in ourselves. What
they're stupid and they stupid and they deserve what they get. Emmett Till had no business whistling at that white woman and pinching her on the butt.
Okay, but did he deserve to get what happened to him just because he whistled and pinched her on the butt? Really?
He should have shown some character.
Oh my gosh, Pianki, seriously. Let me woo soft for a moment.
He should have shown some character. He shouldn't have had his hat cocked on the side of his head like that.
If that was a white boy who did that to a black woman at that time, nothing would have happened to him. So you're doing
this is a white supremacy country.
To a character. What happened to
this
Emmett
is a
Till
white supremacy country.
And born out of racism and prejudice.
Emmett Till had no business with the
back
white woman
to
pitch her on the bus.
The number is 347-945-5229. It is 36 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're headed up the hour. Looks like we're going to be at the sale on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. On Blog Talk listeners and people that chime in that way, or you'll be able to catch us on iHeart. Hopefully, we will be able to pull up Blog Talk. I cannot promise it. I'll try to let you guys know on tomorrow. We're trying to figure out a way to make that happen while we're on the road. But if we can figure out a way, we'll make it happen, and you'll be there with us.
Mm-hmm.
Good food at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
Good food at the fair.
Well, what time are you
going
to be at the fair on Friday? I'll be in town Friday.
From 9 until noon.
Oh.
We'll be there from 9 until noon. At noon, I'm going to blow out of there like I stole something.
We're going to be there early in the morning when the farmers bring back their dates.
Pretty much. Hey, listen, I do want to mention a couple of good things that have happened over the weekend. There was a Jackie Robinson. Let me make sure I get this young kid's name. Jackie Robinson West. They're a part of a little league team that is, I believe, an all-African-American team that actually went to the World Series, the Little League World Series, and they didn't win, but they sure did come home great.
Congratulations.
And then there's also a young lady, and I can't think of her name now.
Pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
She was and she's on the front cover, I believe, of Sports Illustrated, the youngest person ever to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
her name is Monet.
White and arm.
What's her name?
Monet.
I hear she's a bad girl.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, and she actually played in Little League, and she was playing with the guys, and she lost to Chicago. Those are good things, and so I want to bring those up because we do have good people, good kids, good young people trying to do a lot of good things, but we need more. And we need to celebrate them. We need to show them. Because if they can, our other children can also. And we need to give the other children who don't have the same opportunity. We need to find programming and not try to make a living off of the program, but do the program so we can sow back into our own communities and become philanthropic when it comes to our own resources. It makes no sense that we have $1 trillion in spending power, yet we don't spend any in our own community.
Well, why do you have to put race in the baseball team?
Because it was an all-black team. And I haven't seen
black
kids
play
baseball.
Well, they played an all-Korean team. Nobody said it was an all-Korean team.
Pianki, work with me. I have not seen an all-black team in a very long time because it's very hard to get young inner-city black kids to even play baseball, let alone find a whole team.
I see them all the time.
It's hard to get kids, period, nowadays.
That's what I'm saying. But so, you need to celebrate it. It's okay. You can clap for them. It's a good thing. You come from what are you saying?
That was an American team.
Yeah, that was an American team. Why are you saying it's all black team? You throwing race into it.
Okay, it's an American all black team, but I'm still gonna celebrate my kids.
Listen.
It's an American team. They represented America well. But they also represented the African-American community well. And it shows America that all African-American teens are not all doing something destructive. But we need to show more. Again, I said we look at us in stereo. We need to go out and represent our community for what it is, not for what we perceive it to be and or what the media says it is.
Yeah. You have to fight the stereotypes.
Absolutely.
Well, they represented the Great Lakes region. They didn't just represent their community. You need to get these stories right.
Oh, my God.
Pianki, did I say they were from Chicago? Chicago's in the Midwest. It's in Illinois. So they represented Illinois. It was the World Series. What do you want? It is what it is. And I just want to, and it's a good thing. And we do need to celebrate them. because we need to train them and depart into them and help them and support them and have others like them so they actually can go out and get into majors and play ball and get a scholarship to college.
Yeah.
Right now, most inner-city schools do not have a baseball team because we don't have enough kids in the school to play baseball to get to even let it work. They can't even be a part of they can't even be a part of some divisions when it comes to their athletic
equipment.
John, don't do it. You can't get them into the divisions that actually where the scouts come out. Your better divisions have more encompassing sports. And we get excluded because we don't have cross country, we don't have tennis, we don't have golf, and we don't have baseball. And if you don't have some of those sports, you're not allowed to be a part of their division. And we need to change that. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm just cracking up. I put it all during the time. Yeah, okay, you were cracking me up, man. You're crazy. Listen, I understand where you're coming from, but there's too many dynamics for you to try to buttonhole it for the sake of a show, and it's just not going to work.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about all the reasons you're giving for why you're focusing on the team as it is, which I would do as well.
I can't hear what you're saying. I can't hear what you're saying. What are you saying?
Or the reasons why you're going through the racism and the respect. You're going to have to take one thing into consideration in America. You're not going to be respected. Forget it.
It's not going to happen.
And the thing
Hold on. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tracy.
Is that true?
It's very difficult for me to comment on that because I've been shot down pretty good, mostly in breaks.
Tell the truth, brother.
I can't tell the truth in Michigan because I want you to tell the truth
because Michigan, I'll shut him up. I promise you. I want you to tell me. Will white men ever respect a black man?
How many white men, Tracy? You can't just say, will white men respect a black man? There's plenty of white men that respect black men, but that has nothing to do with the total dynamic of America.
So my question is. So, Jeff, you mean to tell me that if Dr. Carson Colin Powell listen to what I'm saying, had become president, things would not have been different and they may have made a different change than President Barack Obama? Are you saying that they would have not
created
a different
respect?
They'd
have been totally different because they're not far left lake rooms.
And again, are you telling me that a black man would not have been respected?
No, not at all. No, they would not be, and it would be the same thing on the other side, because they would get the other. I just don't subscribe to being a captive of it. See, I'm not going to be a captive of people not respecting me. I'm going to be a victor over those that don't respect me, because I'm going to achieve anyway. You know what happened to me. I was politically assassinated out of a job. They thought I was going to shrivel up and die. Well, guess what? I'm doing swell comparatively.
Jeff, that's a bad analogy.
That is exactly
that, No, Jeff. Yours was political.
It was not political. It was racial. Because guess what? There was other people in my party that did worse things than I did, or they said I did, I should say, and worse situation than what they said I had, and they lived happily ever after. Don't tell me that it was just political. It wasn't just political. It was very much, and just because black people had a hand in it, don't think that they're not, those are the real Uncle Toms. Okay, those are real Uncle Toms.
So hold on, Jeff. So when I build a case against you and I get all these black folks against you, I got all these black folks against you, and the white people that are in control, because they go and speak against you behind your back, and they say, well, no, do it because Jeff, and they tell this story about you, whether it be true or not. Is that racial or is that just sabotage?
It's racial because they don't do it to the white people in the same position. Once again, I did nothing. It didn't make a difference, though. the whole thing is for 2 and 3 years, people on both sides, because one didn't hire me from out of their political camp, and because one hated this black man publicly telling a white man running for office that he wasn't worth the paper it took to put an X on the paper for it. That's why I went through what I did. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and I'll still tell it to him to his face today. He still ain't worth the paper, neither is his wife.
Listen.
Now, how about that one?
Again. Right now, when you drive out to your house in the suburbs, after they found out you wasn't going to burn down your house, throw a barbecue in your front yard, and put a couch in the middle of it, do you have any problem with respect?
Yes. Yes. I still get called nigger in the parking lot, okay? Yes.
Right.
If I'm driving too slow, I still get insults hurled out the window in my neighborhood and your neighborhood. You don't understand. I'm a black man. Maybe you don't see that. There's no respect. You're not getting any respect. Just because you have 5 and 6 people here and there that like you and invite you to their parties don't mean that everybody like you.
But they may not like you, but do they respect you? This is not about like.
No, they don't respect you because when you want to do some things like their sons or daughters might want to do, you're not going to get any backup from them. You're not going to get it. But once again, you have to understand the dynamic is in America, they taught so well that black people were not to be respected. Because they're less than human. And I'm not talking about the 3/5 rule because that got us out of slavery for ignorant people that don't understand that. But the thing is you're not respected because it was taught. It is ingrained in the society, and it's going to take a heck of a long time
for
that to leave.
So you believe that no matter where African Americans go in this world, that they will never be respected?
Then show me a place where they are.
Hey, Tracy.
That's what I'm saying.
Show me where they are, and we'll discuss that.
What Jeff was saying earlier about him not stopping, about him just keep going no matter all of that he faced, and that's what he's doing. He's demanding respect for himself. He is demanding this in his everyday life. I'm going to answer your question now. If the entire black community were to stand up like that, like what Jeff is talking about, and not only respect themselves, but respect who they're a part of, what they're a part of, and they come together in a force like that and demand the respect, like what Jeff was talking about, then yes, I can start to see those poles shift. I can start to see the respect for the black community from whites in the macro, not the micro, in the macro, I can see that start. But until that happens and there, you know, the protesting just on serious tragedies like what happened in Ferguson, and that's the only time you see it, that's the only time the black community comes together is during these, and they jump the gun on it before the facts are in, until they start getting together every day in between these tragedies and marching on their city, state, and federal capitals and saying, we demand respect, we demand that, you know, we are one people and we're not going to back down, it isn't going to change.
And that's what I'm
Yet
saying.
You also heard him say he still gets called the N-word. So,
I haven't been called the N-word in quite a few years, Jeff. And
you asked my wife and daughter how they had to keep me in the car one day. Okay, you asked them that in the parking lot of Giant Eagle out in Austin Town. Don't think like
I believe it.
Some people.
Yeah. Jeff. I'm not I said in your neighborhood. You were talking about, and I'm talking about in your neighbors did not want you in your community. Am I correct? You talked about that when you moved out there.
No, not in mine. I didn't have a problem. The banks didn't want to loan me the money, even though I had the 20-30% down to put on it.
Let me ask you. So why didn't you have a problem when you moved out there?
Because I knew one thing, that my property value was going to grow.
No. Why did you have a problem with your neighbors?
Who tell you that I didn't? Some neighbors out here are very good, nice people. But some of them are not.
Hold on. 918, your mic is on.
Well, can we just change a little bit to what that gentleman was saying?
you know, the things that people can focus on. There is a CDC whistleblower that just came out the last couple of days. In 2003, there was a study done by the CDC saying that the MMR and autism, that there was not a link. Apparently, the CDC budged the numbers.
Honey, the conversation is too far off topic.
It's way too far off topic. No, it's not. It's about the African-American population.
I know, but it's too far off topic.
The doctor said they targeted.
It's too far off topic. It's too far. You got to call in tomorrow early. I only have 10 minutes left. It's too far off topic. You're going to call in tomorrow and try that again. Go ahead, Alabama.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, the point about Jeff, that Jeff was just making, I heard a little tail end of it, and I honestly think that I think we get the bad end of the stick. People act like people march and protest. Off of Montgomery, we have a big campaign, Stop the Violence. I mean, we've been making rap songs about it. It just doesn't get a lot of airplay. This gets a lot of airplay because black people are tired of police brutality, regardless of the fact. We all are. Every black man I know got a story for police talking to them, beating them, doing something crazy, threatening them. I mean, that's what they do. So, I mean, it's a myth to just sit up there. I don't think we should just buy into the myth that we don't care about black-on-black crime, because that's a lie.
But my question was, African-Americans do not respect themselves. And when I say that, I'm not saying all. But if you look at our own community, how it is viewed, they look as though as long as we're killing each other in homicides every weekend, it's okay. It only becomes a problem when a white man comes and kills a black kid. And I said, when we start respecting ourselves and quit making white people afraid of us and making them respect us, it'll make a difference.
But we don't. That's the myth. That's what I'm saying. That's not necessarily the truth. The truth is because black people do march for black on black crime. Black people have been saying this for decades. Black people shouldn't be killing black people. I mean, you got all types of self-destruction. We're all in the same game. I mean, these people have been making songs. We've been making, I mean, these ad campaigns by black people, churches. We've been having events. It doesn't get the mainstream press involved like this does.
Well, maybe Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton need to get involved more in these rallies and bring national attention to them, instead of just waiting until we have these minute crimes where the perpetrator is white and the victim is black.
Jesse was just in Montgomery 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks before this took place.
I ain't never seen either one of them in Youngstown.
Well,
never, not
Montgomery.
Once
he comes to
in
Montgomery.
Youngstown.
He comes to Montgomery all the time. There's this guy that owns a chain of grocery stores by the name of Greg Calhoun, African-American guy. They come down. They do events all the time. Now, I don't even like these guys, and I think they need to go somewhere and sit down. But I'm just telling you that black-on-black crime is not this big myth that everybody's running, that we don't care, is a lie.
Come on.
When a black girl got shot in Chicago.
I don't see us doing the rally. I mean, we have a way of coming out in droves from all over the place, making it. And you got to realize we have media now. I mean, we locked down. If you look between Steve Harvey and Al Joyner, they locked down most of black communities in the country. They know how to tell people about voter. Hold on, Alabama. They know how to tell people about voter suppression, but they don't know how to tell people about how to get past what's going on. They don't know how to tell people about education and the education process. So you listen to my point.
No, I get
Wait a minute, Alabama. You can't tell me that we can rap about it, and you can't get no airplay, and you can sing about it, and you got rallies going down the street. But we sit up and count the bodies every weekend, we're concerned about it. Yet we own a good, nice little section of black media across this country, and we still don't say anything about it all the time. You can't tell me that we care.
Okay, can I interject something now? The point I was trying to make was that when a black person kills another black person, black people aren't out here. The government has came out and supported and protected white police, cops, in different situations. Whereas, and that's what black people are upset about. Whereas, if they had went and this guy had got gotten punished by the law, then it wouldn't be a problem. When a black person kills a black person and the law finds out, he's going to jail. That's for the most part. Because they'll be glad to lock him up. But I'm just saying, don't just sit up here. That's what I'm saying. But when a white person kills a person, then they give the police escort the people to come out and walk, but then they shooting tear gas at the black people, and you don't see that as a different, you don't see how that makes black people upset. Come on now.
I've had 7 murders in my family. Not one person who was murdered by a white person. They're murdered by their own kind. I see drug dealers in the black community. When I go back home and I hang out, sad to say, I know these people. You selling the very drugs that kill your community and kill your people, and you don't care because all you want to think about is yourself and making a come up instead of getting a job, and you want to sit here and tell me you actually care about black people, your own people?
Diva, I got a question.
I have a hard time buying that narrative.
Diva, how many white people kill each other? I mean, it's the same number. It's the same.
Not that many. I'm sorry. There's not, where I live, there's not white on white. There's not that crime rate that I had when I was in Youngstown.
It's 60% of this country's population is white. So just by sheer numbers, they're going to really make up 12%. So it's just, I understand what you're saying. I'm saying that I was trying to bolster your point. But I was just saying that according to the FBI statistics, they kill each other. When a white person gets killed, they get killed by a white person. Black people don't kill
True.
White people. That's all I'm saying. I just
right.
And there's
right.
many. There's many, many stop the violence marches, movements that go on in black communities. They had one in Philadelphia that consists of like 2,000 men or something like that.
You must just got on here because I said the exact same thing, and
they
were trying to hear me.
Black Men United of Philadelphia was talking about the black-on-black violence in the neighborhoods. They were trying to do something about it, trying to have protest marches.
This way to get rid of that is to get rid of that no-snitching culture. Now, if you hang on with somebody, y'all doing wrong, and you trying to snitch to get yourself a lower sentence, I get that. Stand up, be a man, and don't do that. But if you see somebody shoot somebody in cold daylight, and you just saying, I'm not going to say nothing about it, I have a problem with
it.
Well,
even what do you do when the police come to your house and knock on your door, park in front of your house and knock on your door after you have called them anonymously or want to report something that you see? Well, that leaves you open for the retaliation. I've known black single women have a house firebomb because of doing that. Why did the police come to your house?
A whole lot of that was happening in Baltimore.
You pointed out another problem that nobody is addressing. That's what we're saying is that how is it that you committed a crime, but because I told on you, now you want to come after me?
Well, that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be the case. That
well, the police should come to your house in that damn way.
If you talk about a snitch,
I'm tired of
this. A snitch is normally somebody who was involved in crime with you,
and
they went and told on you.
No snitching. Well, guess what? You do it. You do. If you're going to do the crime, don't get too upset if you're going to end up having to do the time because somebody told on you. Somebody stood up and said, you know what, I'm tired of this, and I'm reporting you. I'm tired of this within the young people within the black community purporting this no snitching. Somebody got mad because they had to tell the truth on another family member. That's ridiculous.
Well, but that,
the whole community was against them.
But
that's
basically,
stupid.
Most people
let
don't
let
adhere
you
to that. I mean, that happens to be a subculture that's inside.
But
like some of the inner city neighborhoods, it's a subculture that engages in that. That's not true across the board. Most people, if they see something happening, they're going to call the police or the fire department or whatever.
If you see,
and they're not
going to
be
engaging
any type of
nonsense. In Ohio, where we're from, most people are not going to call the police. That's why crimes are going unsolved.
Let me ask you a question, John.
That's only
a subculture of people who don't call the police.
Let me ask you a question,
John. If they see crime going down, they're going to call the police.
That's
only a subculture of people doing that.
If you've seen a crime going down across the street.
What do you guys live in? They don't. You can see people.
They do.
I know a boy who killed
himself.
They
do call the police.
They
do call
the
police. If they see a crime going down, they will.